show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome. Welcome to the Guy James Show, everybody. Glad to have you along with us this afternoon. Lots to talk about today, as always. It seems like it's been forever since I was last sitting here in front of the microphone, and it's only been a few days, but my goodness, we're back with you, and glad to be so. We've got a lot to talk about today. Hope we can get it all in. If we don't, well, we'll do it tomorrow. Okay. Let's make a date for tomorrow. Same time, same station, right here on the Head On Radio Network. Glad to have you with us today on Head On Radio Network. Bob Kincaid's going to be following up today. I'll be on until 6 o'clock today. Bob and I are splitting Bruce's on a little bit of a hiatus, and Bob and I are splitting his shift. So I will be here till 6. All right. Quit your griping. I heard you, all you Bruce fans. Put up with me, okay? Hey, we're going to try and have an interesting show with you today, for you today. We've got Bo Grosskop coming up a little later. He's a professor out at the University of California, and we're going to talk about that death toll in Iraq that the right-wingers just don't want to accept. And congratulations to our good friend Mike Malloy. Looks to me like Mike is employed again, and going to be taking off. What I blasting off on the 30th of the month. Don't know a lot of the details about it yet, but that's a good thing. And we're all celebrating today. There are 300 million of us now here in the country. And don't you know, they had to throw that in on the news that the 300 millionth one was probably Hispanic. yeah, they just had to get that in there. Taking a look around at some of the news, I see the polls now have dropped down to 34% in favor of the Bush war. 34%, two-thirds of the people of the United States don't want us to be in Iraq. And some more good news. You know how well everything's going over in Iraq right now. They keep saying, you know, we're making a lot of progress. I see they fired 3,000 of their cops today. And you know why. They're suspected of being in on those death squads and everything else. Things just aren't going so well. And something I hope to maybe talk about a little later on today, one of our listeners sent me an email about this, and I'm afraid it jarred me a little bit to listen to it. I try and keep up on everything, but it brought me back to a realization that there's something that's strangely amiss in the political discourse nowadays between the right and the left, the candidates in particular, not us. We talk about it all the time. But have you noticed that the candidates are not talking about the war? They're not debating the war. And we'll get into that hopefully a little later on today. What else have we got here scheduled for today? Oh, I see Fred Barnes. I don't know why I subject myself to this sort of thing, but Fred Barnes. Well, I didn't. Somebody sent it to me. Okay. I'm not guilty. I didn't watch Fox. Fred Barnes, who... I can't stand Fred Barnes. Long before he was ever with Fox News. He wrote that in his latest column that Nancy Pelosi is the most unpopular national politician in America. There you go again. Fox people making their own news. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. They make up their own news. They said Nancy Pelosi is the most unpopular national politician in America, which it totally ignored recent opinion polls showing that the President Bush, his vice president, his defense secretary, and the Republican leaders of both houses of Congress are far less popular than Pelosi. But, you know, he's on Fox. So, you know how that goes. And while we're on that subject, just for a moment, humor me for a moment. While we're on that subject, Glenn Greenwald always has a good column up every day on his blog, and I stole this from Glenn, and I wrote and told him that I'm going to use it on the program today, so I guess it's okay. But he wrote today, Newt Gingrich, and this is from Glenn Greenwald. You know, I got to meet him in person in Washington when we were there for that Take Back America conference. What a hell of a guy. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and just as friendly and common and I mean, terrific guy, and enjoyed meeting Glenn very, very much. Well, I think we interviewed him while we were there as well. But Glenn writes today, Newt Gingrich argued yesterday that Republicans should remind the... Now, this is Newt Gingrich speaking, mind you. Reminds the electorate that Republicans are right to favor traditional American conservative social values, and the left is completely wrong to put San Francisco left-wing values third in line to be president by electing Nancy Pelosi to Speaker of the House. Now, here are some of Nancy Pelosi's San Francisco left-wing values, the way Newt says it. Upon graduation in 1962, she married Georgetown University graduate Paul Pelosi. Pelosi and her husband, Paul Pelosi, a native of San Francisco, have five children, Nancy, Corrine, Christine, Jacqueline, Paul, and Alexandra, and five grandchildren. Newt Gingrich's traditional American conservative social values. In 1981, Newt dumped his first wife, Jackie Battley, for Marianne, wife number two, while Jackie was in the hospital undergoing cancer treatment. Marianne and Newt divorced in December 1999 after Marianne found out about Newt's long-running affair with Calista Bissick, his one-time congressional aide. Gingrich asked Marianne for the divorce by phoning her on Mother's Day in 1999. In July of 18th of 2000, Newt's ex-wife, aiming to pen a book that's going to be available. And Newt, 57 years old, and Calista, 34, were married in a private ceremony in a hotel courtyard in Alexandria, Virginia, in August of 2000. Yes, he famously visited Jackie in the hospital where she was recovering from surgery for uterine cancer to discuss the details of the divorce. And Newt, the paragon of virtue of the Republican Party, talking about Nancy Pelosi's San Francisco left-wing values, Newt later resisted paying alimony and child support for his two daughters, causing a church to take up a collection. For all his talk of religious faith and the importance of God, Gingrich left his congregation over the pastor's criticism of his divorce. The consistency in reasoning is at least impressive, Glenn Greenwald is saying here. Those who evaded military service during wars they cheered on are brave, courageous, resolute warriors. Those who fought for their country in combat are cowards and appeasers. Those who repeatedly dump their wives for new and better versions and run around engaging in the sleaziest and most unrestrained sexual behavior are stalwart defenders of traditional American and Christian values. Those who stay married to their original spouse for their entire lives and raise a family together are godless, radical heathens who represent, quote, San Francisco values and seek to undermine the country's moral fiber and Christian traditions. You son of a bitch. Newt Gingrich. I'm sorry, but this man just, ugh. It sickens me when I see Newt Gingrich on preaching family values. And still these right-wingers sit there and listen to him and go, yeah, Newt, tell him. And still, he's beloved by Rush Limbaugh, the drug junkie. The two of them preaching moral values, family values. Sean Hannity loves Mr. Speaker. Newt Gingrich. Where the hell could you find a better representative for sleaze than Newt Gingrich? And you're right. Somebody on the chat room said Newt's a bigger toad than Rudy Giuliani. Yes. He has a slight edge on Rudy Giuliani. But I only bring this up to show one more time the unbelievable hypocrisy by these people. Unbelievable. But they've done it because they own the media. They own it. And when you own the media, you know, when there's a coup in the old days in the banana republics and even in Europe, when there was a war, the first thing they do is go grab the radio station. Go grab the media. When you own the media, you own it all, and they own the media. It kills me when they get on there and say, well, yes, all we've got is this little Fox cable channel, and they've got the New York Times and the Washington Post. And those lefties have got all the mainstream media. They got ABC, CBS, and NBC. Excuse me? Who owns NBC? Who is it that owns NBC? I'd give you a hint. It ain't a bunch of lefties. Uh-uh. Who owns CBS? No lefties involved there either. Who owns ABC? Who showed that anti-Clinton movie recently? Who owns ABC? And the lefties have the media? Oh. Oh, man. Oh, man. You know, the only good thing about all this, finally we're starting to see the inside, see inside the minds of this group of neocons who hold power over us at the moment. Finally, we're getting a glimpse of the depths of depravity and the degenerates that are so pervasive within the Republican Party today. The worst gang of hypocrites ever. Oh my God. You know, we're seeing that these are people who don't think like normal people. They see things from a point of view that's foreign to most all of us. They see things from a point of view that's so far away from normality that I now understand what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people who have the most warped sense of what's right and wrong that I've ever encountered in my life. It's something that hasn't been clear to me until just recently when a lot of this latest stuff came to light. The bell rang in my head what we're dealing with here. I think the Tom DeLay affair is what first made me realize that we're dealing with a group of degenerates who can't discern between right and wrong, between truth and lies. In Tom DeLay, we've got a man whom we all know that through his very close association with Jack Abramoff and his very powerful position in the House of Representatives has been able to build a criminal enterprise of corruption previously unknown in the United States Capitol building. He used his power and his influence to raise huge sums of money, to enrich his own family and launder money so as to further his criminal enterprise through electing more neocon Republicans to office. And by doing that, he ensured the perpetuation of his, how else can you put it, his absolutely immoral activities. No one in the Republican Party said a word. Did they? Do you think back? You think back across this whole Tom DeLay business. Tell me anybody on the right who said one damn thing against Tom DeLay. Well, you'll be thinking a long time because nobody did. First of all, most of them couldn't see that he was wrong in what he was doing. And secondly, even if they did see that they were that he was wrong, they were afraid of him. Not one word of condemnation of this thug who's now under indictment. When we were on terrestrial radio around here, we'd ask these right-wingers, do you approve of Tom DeLay? If you approve of Tom DeLay was my question every single week to the right-wingers. If you approve of Tom DeLay, if you can defend Tom DeLay, call me. Never got a call. Not one word from any of them. And even worse, DeLay has so completely coerced the fundamental Christian leaders that he's now making his living by traveling around and speaking to Christian right groups. I don't know. To me, that seems like I'd be sort of like inviting Al Capone to give testimony at your local church, wouldn't it? And then we find out that the Republicans are involved in a massive cover-up of what may well turn out to be a major scandal involving Representative Mark Foley, Representative Reynolds, Boehner, and Speaker Hastert, and a busload of others. And what do they do as a party? What do they do right out of the gate? They denied responsibility. Denied that they knew anything about it. Denied that they had any forewarning about a degenerate within their ranks. Hell, everybody in Washington knew about it. I haven't yet talked to a politician or a staffer in Washington who didn't know about it. No kidding. Not a one. And I've talked to a bunch of them about it. I have yet to talk to a staffer in Washington and a couple of congressmen. I've yet to talk to any of them that didn't know about this Foley incident. Long before it came out in the news. You know, Boehner says he told Hastert. Reynolds said he told Hastert. Reynolds' chief of staff says he told Hastert's chief of staff. A couple of the people on the House Page Committee knew about the problem, but didn't bother to tell the Democrat on the committee. Then all of them claimed that Reynolds' former chief of staff is lying. And they all deny telling Hastert after Hastert says he didn't know about it until the Friday it broke on the news. I know it sounds ridiculous. I know it does. And yet, you know, you can't write stuff like this. And yet they've been claiming for years now that they and this is the moral of the story. The crux of the matter, they've been claiming for years now that they are the party of personal responsibility. That sounds so good, doesn't it? Personal responsibility. We all have to live our lives taking personal responsibility for our actions. And they, the Republicans, are the party of personal responsibility. It just so happens that they've got a lock on it. Nobody else can have personal responsibility. Fact is, they don't have any personal responsibility. Is there any truth to the fact that they say they're the party of personal responsibility? Hell no. There's no truth to it. It's nothing more than a big ruse to fool voters into thinking they're something that they're not. And the sad fact is they've succeeded for years into fooling a huge segment of the population into thinking that they were more moral, more spiritual, more religious, more ethical, just plain better than Democrats. And I have to laugh when I think about it. But it's not funny, really. I think it's now sinking into many folks, at least that the Republicans are not one bit better in the morality department than are the Democrats. In fact, I think there's a hell of a lot of evidence to show that the Republicans have totally lost their moral compass. You know, you take this new book by David Koh, for example. Did you see him on 60 Minutes the other night? Here's a guy who knows what he's talking about, having worked in the White House on Bush's faith-based initiative program. Quote, documents how the insiders in the White House have nothing but utter contempt for the leaders of the evangelical movement. You know, they call them nuts and crazy and the like. Karl Rove used the evangelicals like Bill used Monica. The only difference is there is only one Monica. There's millions of evangelicals, and it appears that a huge percentage of them serviced Karl Rove. That's for sure. Karl used them in the most expedient way for his scheme to get Bush in the White House, just like a pimp uses his women. Promise him he loves them so that they stay true to him. Oh, yes. Pimp Karl. The only trouble is that old Pimp Karl didn't take very good care of his stable. I wonder how the leaders of the evangelical movement feel right now. Do they feel betrayed? Or does it matter to them as long as millions of dollars continue to fill their collection plates? I wonder. I'd sure as hell love to be a fly on the wall of Falwell or Dobson's or Robertson's office right now. I bet there was some oh-so-nasty swearing going on in those offices when they heard about this book. And yet, have you seen any of them interviewed? They're hiding it well, don't you think? Don't you think they're hiding it very well? Oh, well, no, we don't accept it, what Mr. Quo says. You know, he's just one man in there. We know Mr. Bush is a good Christian. He's solid in his beliefs. He goes to church and he prays, and he told us he's, you know, a good Christian, and he's seen the light, and he's been saved and everything. So that's good enough for us. We don't know this David Quo figure. We don't know him. We don't know him, so, you know, we don't believe him. Just like everybody else that's left, every right-winger, I might say, who has left left the White House and written a book, what do they do? Oh, I see somebody in the chat room says Jeff Gannon. Wait, Jeff Gannon had his dibs on Karl Rove. Most Christians have to get in line. Oh, man. Oh, no. Jeff Gannon, that's another story. Yes, it is. And I don't know. One more thing about the morality within this Republican Party. The stench coming from the side of their aisle right now is so overwhelming. I mean, it really is. Chris Shea's comments last week were absolutely beyond the pale. I mean, here's a guy that was pretty normal, and he's another rat that gets backed into a corner. What does he do? He starts not just the one about Ted Kennedy, but the ones about the torture by our troops. He claims the events that happened at Abu Ghraib were not torture, but rather just sexual abuse. He claimed it was more about pornography than torture. He's actually quoted as saying, "I've seen what happened in Abu Ghraib, and Abu Ghraib was not torture. It was a sex ring." Yes, they did things that were outrageous, but it wasn't torture. Says he's seen the pictures and the naked Iraqis. Naked Americans were having sex, but it wasn't torture. Congressman says, "I wonder if it would be okay with you if we'd use you for a little experiment to find out whether it was sex or torture. If you would personally volunteer for that little experiment, we could find out the truth, and then you could then talk with real conviction about it. Let's have you go over to Abu Ghraib, strip down, have the dog snarling and biting you, bend you over a table and insert a fluorescent light bulb up your backside and threaten to break it. All the while, you'd be smeared with feces and urine, and then what? Well, you could tell us whether you still think it was some sexual prank or actually tortured. Come on. Give it a try, Congressman Shays. Be a man. Be a man. Back up your assertions that Abu Ghraib was nothing more than a sex ring. And while you're at it, take a drug junkie with you. You know, he said it was nothing but a little bit of horsing around, too. You and the drug junkie, you go through that little deal together, okay? And then report back to us and let us know what you think, huh? The hypocrisy of these people is truly staggering. I mean, it's becoming easier to understand why the public is so easily duped by these self-righteous hypocrites. The level of hypocrisy is so outrageous. It is. It's so outrageous that it actually is hard to believe that they could lie to such a degree. Therefore, the evangelicals follow them. It's sad but true. All you got to do is have another Come to Jesus meeting, and Carl Rove will lead the band. And yes, we had one of our Republican flock go astray, and we'll pray for him, and we'll pray for his redemption and his forgiveness. Of course we'll forgive him. We've forgiven Newt Gingrich of all his trespasses, of course, because he's a Republican. And let me see. Do any of you remember Newt Gingrich ever giving an apology to the public for his actions? Do any of you remember one word coming out of Newt Gingrich's, the beloved ex-Speaker of the House, resigned in shame? Did you hear a word of apology come from his mouth? No. Yet, Mr. Falwell and Dobson and, you know, the whole gang of them, I should make a list up. I get tired of picking on just three or four of them. There's a bigger list than that. They forgive him. They forgive him because it's the Christian thing to do. And I'm a Christian and I believe that. I believe in forgiveness. I do. But if you're a right-wing Christian, if you're an evangelical Christian marching to the beat of the drummer of Karl Rove, you can't forgive Bill Clinton, can you? No. That's a different story. That's a whole different ballgame. We can't trust Bill Clinton again. Unlike Mr. Gingrich, he did stay married to his wife. He did fix his marriage. And I don't know what goes on in the Clinton marriage. I have no idea. But I do know they've got a wonderful daughter. A wonderful daughter. Highly intelligent. Went through that teenage thing, that puberty thing, and now she's cute as a button. A girl that any family would be proud of. Because she did have a family that instilled real values in her. Real values. Unlike the ones, I might mention a couple of young girls of another political persuasion happen to be living in the White House, or actually your father lives in the White House. A little bit different values, I'd say. Just a little bit. 866-546-5254. I'm going to take a short break. I will be right back. Don't go anywhere. All of you on the phone, hang on. We'll be back in a moment.
Gotta go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
In the West, the old cowboys put their trust in a creed. They had faith in the law and the worth of a deed. But above all the rest, it was truth that came first. In the sins of the cowboy, a lie was the worst. Now old Davy Crockett had a motto, it said, be sure you are right, and then go ahead. But a rich boy from Texas has forgotten his roots, and the pride of his homeland is dead. All had and no cattle, but no master plan, and and the need to do battle to avenge your old man. Cisco and Pancho, Roy would be sad to see this cowboy from Texas gone bad. Yes, we knew the Lone Ranger didn't need any fame. When they wanted to thank him, they just got his name. He needed no credit or praise for his time, but he'd do the right thing just the same. All had and no cattle with no master plan, and the need to do battle to avenge your old man. Wild Bill and Wyatt and Gene would be sad to see this cowboy from Texas gone bad. If it's half gun we'll travel, that our nation believes, we need truth from a wise man who would not deceive. When Paladin reached for his Colt 45, he was certain the truth would survive. All had and no cattle with no master plan, and the need to do battle with your head in the sand. Hop along, Cassidy, sure would be sad to see this cowboy from Texas gone bad. Yes, all those old cowboys would surely be sad to see this cowboy from Texas gone bad.
Okay, we're back with the Guy James Show. Hope you enjoyed that little piece right there, Cowboy Gone Bad. That's from a group called Group Therapy. And Group Therapy, WVF.blogspot.com. Nice piece. Well done. Someone mentioned in the chat room while we were away to break, hey, why doesn't the Southwest Florida, where we live here, why doesn't the local press here discuss the fact that the congressman from Southwest Florida is, well, he dumped his wife and family to run around with Sonny Bono's ex. Hmm? That hasn't been in the paper at all here, don't you know? Carpetbagger comes in, doesn't even live here, dumped his wife and family. And, you know, and he dumped his wife and family just about absolutely after the moment he got to Washington. But it's not mentioned in the local newspaper. Hey, we're going to go to the phone right now. I believe we've got Ron from Columbus on the phone. Are you with us, Ron?
Yes, Guy. First thing I want to say, guys, I love your show.
Well, thank you.
I love your show, and as knowledgeable as you are of the political realm and so forth, you should be in Washington.
Well, I wouldn't mind that at all.
Well, that's where you should be. I think you ought to be running for an office, and I think we push real hard for you here in Columbus, Ohio.
Well, see, in Florida, well, I'd have to run for national office to get your vote in Columbus. And
yeah, well, that's what I'm looking at, a national office.
There you go.
Oh, a national office.
Mm-hmm. So,
You know, we talk about hypocrisy, you know, with Gingrich, and then you're talking about the individual coming to Florida and dumped his wife and so forth. I want to say something in regard to this, and these three guys are heavily involved in something that I think needs to be shared on your show. Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, and Rush Limbaugh have all been involved in oral sex.
Hmm.
And I mean with other individuals as well as each other.
Oh.
Now, I'm not sure about that.
Well.
But it comes pretty direct.
Can you get us any pictures? Ooh, that's a nasty thought.
Well, yeah, it would be pretty tough to look at, but you know, if I could and I can, I will.
Yeah.
And you know, these guys are always bashing everybody. They're bashing the gays, and they're saying bad things about the gays. You know, the gay people, they might be gays, but do they engage in oral sex? I mean, I don't think every one of them does, but they put them in that class. The first thing you think about when they think of a gay person, male or female, they think of them, you know, engaging in oral sex. And, you know, and I don't care. I don't care if other people engage in oral sex. I don't even see, you know, if a man and wife want to do it, or a man and another woman want to do it, or men to men, or women to women. I don't care. I don't care what makes such a big issue of. You know, they're beating up on their own person, Paulie, kicking him out, you know, and you know, all kinds of rumors going around about him, and then some actual facts. And here they are, carrying on. Now, when you talk about Paulie to a Republican, he changes the subject immediately and starts beating up on Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Right away.
Yeah.
Right away, they start talking about all the bad things that Clinton did. Well, that's over with. That's gone. I mean, that's completely gone. To carry on and beat on that thing and keep on beating on Hillary and beating on Bill and all that kind of stuff, when they got so many problems of their own and so many things that happened in the past. We're not bringing up the past right now. We're talking about Foley. We're not talking about things that happened 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago.
Wouldn't be any different than me bringing up Warren G. Harding every day, now would it?
Right. Yeah, then the things that he did and the congressman down in Mississippi, what was he, the
South Carolina, Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Strom Thurmond, the stuff that he did. My golly, I mean, that is long ago. But whenever you bring it up, why, you know, it kind of riles the right. It riles them really bad.
Yeah, you ought to sit on Meeting Street down in Charleston and bring that up.
Yeah. Well, I'm not defending oral sex. I'm just not saying that. It should be put together with people that are gay.
I don't think oral sex needs defending.
Well, no, I don't think so either. I mean, yeah. I think it's a part of the sexual structure of what people want to do. And if they want to do it, fine. It's all, you know, some people say it's a sin. I don't say it's a sin.
Yeah.
I you know, with Bill Clinton, they were talking about, you know, he said he didn't have sexual intercourse. He did.
Yeah.
He didn't. And as far as having sex with that woman, you know, who cares?
Hey, you know, I actually back when that was going on, I asked around some people, some women. I asked them, you remember when, you know, the big discussion was whether he was lying or not when he said he'd had sex with her or had not had sex with her. They said, well, she had to. I asked some women that I knew, and they actually told me that they agreed with him.
Yeah.
They didn't consider it. Whoa. Okay.
Oh. Well, and you know, another thing, and this is really wild, I was talking to a dentist one time, and I talked to him. I said, what do you think about, you know, working with people that you know very well are engaged in oral sex? He said, I want to tell you something. He said, the cleanest mouth that I've ever worked on were people that I know engaged in oral sex.
Well, I bet the audience didn't plan on this discussion today.
Then the other thing, the last thing I'll say, I went to a party one night, and a guy had on a T-shirt, and this guy was a dyed-in-the-wool right. He had on the back of his shirt, 9 out of 10 dentists recommend oral sex.
That's a pretty good shirt.
You know, I brought this up, and then I just want to hear some comments from your audience.
Well, I hope they do.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, bye.
Well, now there was an interesting conversation. you didn't know that Dr. Ruth Westheimer, Columbus version, is going to be on today. Here we have this discussion. I agree with a lot of what was it, Ron? Yeah, Ron. I agree with a lot of what Ron said. I do. They've beat up on Clinton long enough by now, and I've had it with that. It's you don't often hear me. I mean, who would be easier to pound on in the Republican Party than Richard Nixon? I don't bring up Richard Nixon. I mean, now and then we bring up his name when there's corruption involved, but we don't bring his name into that every day. Oh, Scott! Now somebody writes a fable pour on the. Oh God! Some of you people got a great sense of humor, I have to admit. Fable pour on the chat room says, "Rush oral sex, isn't that what he does every weekday?" Yes, right on the air. Let's go back to the phone. Hi, let me see to get this right here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. Phil in Daytona Beach calling. How are you?
Hi, Phil.
Hi. Oh, I don't know what to say following that last call.
Well, you're going to have to go some to beat that one.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, it's good to laugh.
It is. It is. And you know, I agree with a lot of what Ron said. They beat up on Bill Clinton all the time. I mean, it's incredible. And they're not going to let go of it either.
No. Well, you know, we can let go.
Yeah.
And that puts that to rest. The thing that I'm calling about, Guy, is, you know, Bush signed that Military Commissions Act today, you know, and protecting us from terrorists. Right?
Yeah, I feel better already, safer, don't you?
Well, you know something, and I'm trying to tie this into, you know, the upcoming war on Iran or Korea and or both, that now we're allowing, legally we're allowing a testimony via torture. And wasn't the information that they made a case for war on Iraq, Colin Powell talking about all that stuff that they had, wasn't it later determined that the source of that information was a fella who had the information tortured out of him, and that it was therefore no good?
I can't think of the name, but you're absolutely right. I do remember it. Yes,
it was. You know, it was one source, and after the fact, it was determined that they got the information via torture, and therefore the information was not good information. And so here we go again. You know, now they're going to come up with some guy that they're torturing the information out of, that, you know, Iran is going to do this or that or has done this or that, and there you go again. Same damn thing. Let's bomb Iran. You know.
Well, we had a gentleman from Muslim gentleman from England on that, you know, got caught over there in Mozambique, and he told us, you know, when they started in on him, he said, "Yeah, I'll sign anything you want."
Heck yeah! It's amazing how the American people, my God, man.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we understand about the corporate media. You were talking about it before. They own the media, so, you know, having all the news channels, cheerlead for this next, invasion is expected. But are the people that stupid, you know?
Unfortunately, yes.
Man.
And they know it. And they know it, and they're going after them again. They're going after the same group again, starting to preach terror, you know, terror, and tax cuts, terror and tax cuts. They're going to get them to buy that again. Although I'm hoping fewer people will believe it this time. I think we do a little better this time.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about just to not get into it, would not even give them the time of day, not even give the television. Don't feed them anymore. Don't feed the corrupt TV, and don't engage in stupid conversations about Clinton did this versus that. You know, don't even.
Yeah.
Don't even give it. Don't even you know, participate in that. And then I think there's more room for truth. You know, then you know, if you're spending energy and time and space on a nowhere discussion or argument like that, that's energy, time, and space that could be occupied by truth.
Oh, when I get one that starts talking to me like that, I always tell them, hey, let me just say right up front before you say it, everything that you can think of bad politically that's happened in the last 6 years is Bill Clinton's fault, okay? Let's just get that out of the way right now, okay?
Right.
I mean, we're going back to the Titanic, you know, everything. It's Clinton's fault, the Crusades, everything. Oh, yeah.
My God. Well, I say this every time I get the chance to speak with you folks on air, is we have to be the media. I'm not talking about you particularly, Guy. I'm talking about the actual individuals out there listening right now, the everyday man and woman in America. We have to be the media. We have to engage our fellows, you know. And, hey, did you hear about this? You know, kind of play dumb a little to get it going, you know. Yeah, I just found out of these Downing Street memos, or hey, did you hear about this? Yeah, you know, the justification for war, they found out they got the information by torturing a guy, and it was bad information. Yeah, and that's what
right.
They used to invade Iraq. You know, really? Yeah, now they just signed a law to make the torture legal, and I think they might pull the same thing for Iran. You know, make it like you just found out yourself. I do that with people, and, you know, and who knows, even if the person you're talking to doesn't, chances are when I take that approach, they're more open to the discussion, like, hey, I just found out, you know.
You're sneaking up on them.
Yeah, man, and then you'd be surprised, you know, if you're in a grocery store or what have you. You know, there's people behind you in line or in the other aisle, and they over, you know, if you say it loud enough, you got more people overhearing you, and these are ways to be the media ourselves.
Yeah, well, we have to, because we're sure behind in the media. Hey, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, Guy. Great program.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Well, let's go over to line one here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is John from Fort Myers. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
You know, I had a whole 12-minute monologue on oral sex ready, but now I can't do it because it's already been done. And I'm glad he covered all the possible combinations.
I think he did, didn't he?
I was happy. Yeah, it was very thorough, very thorough. Actually, you know, I was sitting around trying to think of the other day, other than corporations and extremely rich individuals, who is benefiting from the Bush administration? And I came up with an answer I don't think anybody else has come up with. But, you know, over there in Marion, Ohio, where the Warren G. Harding Memorial is, and I'm sure you've been there and seen that.
I've been there many times.
There are these wonderful community volunteers, the docents. Some of them are teenagers, some of them are seniors, who will take visitors through and explain the history and the facts and the figures and all that. And all of them, I'm sure from time to time, are faced with the question, gee, wasn't he the worst president ever? Isn't he regarded as that? You know, future generations of docents at that memorial won't have to face that question anymore.
Well, you know, in Marion, and I am, as my listeners know, I'm very familiar with that town. My mother's from there. I have a lot of great stories I could tell you about that, but you know, there was a department store in Marion, Ohio called Frank's Department Store, and that was their family's last name. Frank. And it was the Frank daughter who was Warren G. Harding's mistress, and it is her that had sex with him in the closet at the in the Oval Office. So I hate to hear these Republicans talk about how Clinton defiled the office. Actually, when it was Warren Harding that actually broke it in, or
Yeah, well, and the thing though, I think the thing that will put him a notch above is that, in my understanding of his presidency, it wasn't so much that he was evil or venal; he just was unaware, undiligent,
didn't have a clue, didn't want to have a clue.
Yeah, and when he finally found out what was going on around him, he was despondent and disheartened. But, I mean, he was way after he should have known about all of the scandal in his administration. But, of course, one of the great parallels between that administration and the current is that there was the setting up of a new oligarchy to concentrate all of the power within a few hands again. To kind of take back what Teddy Roosevelt had, ironically, had taken away from.
Yep, you got it. I mean, you're right on the money. You know, I have to tell you, no, I won't. I guess I better not. Little pranks we used to play when I was in high school and in college regarding. For those of you, have you seen the Harding Memorial?
Yes, I have.
For those of you around the country that have not seen the Warren G. Harding Memorial, let me tell you something. It could sit right on the mall in Washington and be exactly appropriate because it is fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean fabulous. It could definitely sit right on the mall in Washington. And it was built with pennies and nickels and dimes sent in by high school or by school kids all over the country. And they built this Harding Memorial. And the high school in Marion, Ohio is Warren G. Harding High School. And the high school in Warren, Ohio is also Warren G. Harding High School. And I know there are several schools. Now, I've always wondered, the folks in Marion, Ohio had a reason to name their school Warren G. Harding High School because, after all, that's where he was from. But what excuse did the people in Warren, Ohio have?
I think after that presidency was in, or presidency was done, and of course all the facts haven't been examined.
That's
it
right.
was generally known that it was a failure, at least a failure of diligence by the president, and he became extremely unpopular. And I think to not have done it up big would have been an omission. The people of Marion to have to look all this in the face, and of course the state government of Ohio was behind the building and funding of that as well as was the federal government, from what I understand. So, but I think it was just either we memorialize him as we should, a president who came from our community, or if we do something that isn't grand or is not at all, it's going to mean that we are admitting our shame in all of this, and of course. That's something they were unwilling to do. That's my take on it.
I think you're right. I think there's a lot to be said for. I think you're right on the money there. He was recently departed, and all the facts hadn't come out yet, and he was a lot of the Marion Star newspaper. He was the publisher of the Marion Star newspaper, and his home there is a few blocks away from. Well, actually, quite a few blocks away from. From the memorial, but you can go through his home. It's a nice home. He conducted a great deal of his campaign right from his. He was famous for his front porch campaign, and a very handsome devil he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if a lot of our listeners know, and I know you do, as familiar as you are with it. But a lot of people say, "Well, how did a guy like him ever get to be?" Well, first of all, let me ask you, how did Dan Quayle ever, but they'd gone through, I don't know how many votes, I can't remember for sure, at the Republican convention that year and couldn't land on anybody. And after, I don't know, five or six or seven votes or something, I forget how many, Harding was sitting over in the corner of a smoke filled room with a drink and a cigar in his hand. And somebody said, "Hey, how about Harding?" And they said, Yeah, Harding. Let's try him, and that's how it happened.
Yeah, it was, as I understand it, a loggerhead at the convention between, I remember their names. One was an ex-army general who had some sort of distinguished service in World War I, And another one was one of these great middle-of-the-country Republican operatives, and they would not cede to each other. And Harding's people just stepped into the gap and became the stalemate breaker.
Yeah, as I understand it, Harding was kind of like, who, me? yes. But I don't know. I think George is going to replace him.
I
think he has replaced him, and I think all the descendants of Warren Harding, and there still are a few who live in Marion, Ohio, I think they're greatly relieved by now.
Oh, and James Buchanan, I mean, his descendants must be very great, because it was kind of a toss-up between him and Harding as to who had been the most lackluster as a president.
Yeah.
And I think they'll both come out of this they're slowly climbing out of the basement.
Yeah.
Now only one of the worst and not the worst.
I don't know if the Harding Sanitarium there is still open or not. I think that was his brother, who was a doctor, had a sanitarium there for a good many years. It might be closed.
That I do not know.
Yeah.
That I do not know.
Hey, it's great to talk about Marion, Ohio with you.
All right. Nice talking with you guys.
Thanks for your call. Yes. One time back in the old days. Bunch of college guys. See, if I was from Virginia, they'd tar and feather me running for office. But I'll get this out of the way so that the Republicans can, you know, they won't be able to use it on me if I ever run for the presidency. Some of my friends and I got some beer, and we went on and sat on Harding's tomb and drank the beer when we were 18 or 19 years old. Oh, terrible. Terrible. 866-546-5254. Somebody on the chat room wanted me to bring up the fact that locally here, well, first of all, let me give you the good news. I got good news and bad news locally here. The good news is they had a festival at Fort Myers Beach, which... if I go down at the end of the road here, I could about throw a stone over to Fort Myers Beach. It's called the Fort Myers Turkey Testicle Festival. I'm not kidding. No, I'm not kidding. And people were offended and wanted to change the name. But they decided that they're not going to change the name, and it's going to remain the Turkey Testicle Festival. Oh, it says there are six other turkey testicle festivals over the country. Well, we got some show today, don't we? Turkey testicles and oral sex and I don't know what all. That's the good news. The festival is going to remain. The bad news is, get this, they came to town the other day and had a at some fat cat's house here locally and had a fundraiser for Charlie Crist. You know, the gay guy that's running for governor here that doesn't want anybody to know he's gay. Hey, I don't care if he's gay. Just tell everybody, Charlie. I mean, why do you Republicans want to hide what you are? Why? I don't know. I don't get it. I really don't get it. But anyway, had a little soiree at somebody's house and raised $2.5 million. For his campaign, and as I understand it, he's outraised what's his name at Davis, weakest candidate we've ever had here in Florida for governor, outraised him $10.9 million to about $2.5 million. Let me just say it: Davis doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning the election here. Extremely, and I'm going to make some people mad by saying it, but an extremely, extremely weak candidate. I don't know what, and Bob Graham has some sort of an association with him and backed him, and that's how he ended up with the nomination here. But I know some of you don't agree with me, but my God, if we can't come up with a better candidate than this Jim Davis we've got here, and I'm going to talk about why coming up in the second hour of the program. You think we ought not have a single reason why we don't want a certain guy for governor, that we shouldn't be single-issue voters and all that? Well, I'm going to bring one up. There's only one of the reasons why I'm going to lay off the governor's race. I just can't do it. I can't hold my nose that tight. Can't do it. All right. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. We're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a flash, almost a flash, about 5 minutes. So don't go away.
This is the Quality News Network. A defiant North Korea says it considers U.N. sanctions levied against it an act of war. U.S. officials say spy satellites have discovered signs indicating North Korea may be getting ready for a second nuclear weapons test. In Brussels, the EU is poised to approve U.N. sanctions against Iran following the country's refusal to enter negotiations on its uranium enrichment program. The U.N. Security Council demanded Iran abandon its nuclear program by the end of August. The country has refused to do so. Support for the war in Iraq is at an all-time low. According to the CNN poll released today, only 34% of Americans express approval for the conflict. The greatest criticism comes from women. 64% of those polled said they opposed the war. In Iraq, more than 3,000 policemen were fired today for breaking laws and dereliction of duty. The Iraqi Interior Minister says the dismissals are part of a plan to completely reorganize the force. In Washington, President Bush this morning signed into law controversial legislation governing the interrogation of terrorist suspects. Proponents say the Military Commissions Act is a necessary tool in the war on terror. Critics say the act violates human rights. The Washington Post reports U.S. allies such as Germany and Britain are urging the Bush administration to close down the Guantanamo Bay military prison. However, the countries complaining are also refusing to accept transfer of those inmates. In southern Afghanistan today, a U.S. warplane killed 16 Taliban rebels, including a senior commander. The U.S. population passed the 300 million mark this morning at about 4:46 Pacific time. The Brookings Institute says, based on statistical analysis, the baby was most likely to be born in L.A. to a Mexican immigrant. An investigation has been launched into a letter sent to Southern California Hispanics warning them not to vote in the upcoming election. The letter says immigrants will be jailed or deported if they go to the polls. By law, immigrants who become naturalized citizens are eligible to vote. In the Pittsburgh area, three school buses carrying elementary students on a field trip crashed this morning in a rainstorm. 42 people were injured. In San Antonio, 15 cars of a freight train have derailed. Even though one of the cars slammed into a nearby house, no injuries have been reported. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and Business is next.
Tune in to the Quality News Network on election night to learn the results of perhaps the most important midterm elections in our nation's history. QNN will go beyond the scorecard reporting of the numbers. We will delve into the reasons why America voted the way we did and what it may mean for our future. Over the past 6 months, QNN has conducted over 250 interviews with candidates in the 2006 elections. All of the candidates are challengers for House, Senate, and gubernatorial seats from all parties from all 50 states. You can hear these interviews at qualitynewsnetwork.com. These are the people who have carried the banner of democracy during this vital election campaign, and they will be joining us on the air to talk about their races, why they won or lost, and what they learned about the process and the voters. So tune in to the Quality News Network on election night and learn where we are going from those who are going to lead us. Now back to the news.
Iceland plans to resume commercial whaling, one of only two nations worldwide to violate a 20-year moratorium on the practice. Iceland says it will take 9 endangered fin whales and 30 minke whales each year. Norway also commercially hunts whales. September's wholesale rate of inflation dropped twice as much as was expected, 1.3%. The decline was led by the price of gasoline, which fell more than 22%. That decrease in gas prices is the largest monthly drop ever recorded. The Asian Wall Street Journal reports Walmart will acquire a chain of 100 supermarkets in China from the Taiwanese Trustmart Company. The billion-dollar deal is expected to make Walmart one of the largest retailers in China. Google says it will convert its million-square-foot Mountain View corporate headquarters to solar power. Environmental Engineers say it is the largest solar project in history. Disney says it will limit the sugar, fat, and calories in foods packaged with pictures of Disney cartoon characters. The company estimates the changes will be implemented by the end of 2008. Light sweet crude is $58.80 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold is $593.70 an ounce. On Wall Street at this hour, Dow Jones is down 40 points, the Nasdaq down 20, the S&P 500 is down 7. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund, 5 minutes past the hour.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Ah, yes. Here we are back again on the Head On Radio Network with the Guy James Show. We'll be with you until 6 p.m. this evening. We're usually off at 5, and then Bruce Burch's show. But Bruce is on a short hiatus, and Bob Kincaid and I are splitting it up. I'm doing the first hour, and he's doing the second hour. And so you got to put up with me for, an extra hour today. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. But, it's been a classy show so far. I don't see any reason why we can't do an extra hour of pure class. We've been talking about turkey testicles and oral sex, so, who knew? I've got to tell you, when the day started, I had no idea that was going to be the subject of the program. I'll bet you Rush Limbaugh's never had I bet that's never been the subject of one of his programs. He's not such a hot shot, is he? Hannity? No way. Hannity probably wouldn't know what we're talking about. He's so righteous, right? we were talking right before the top of the hour about everything being... let me get this off my chest. I was talking about it immediately before the hour. Charlie Crist running for governor here. Charlie is a gay guy that doesn't want anybody to know he's gay, and I think that's deceitful. Some of you won't agree with me on that, but you're in public life. There's a possibility of you being blackmailed, all that sort of thing. You should just lay it out there for everybody to see. And if you that old friend of my grandpa's used to say, "Be what you is, even if you is old and ugly. Be what you is." And if you're gay, you're gay. So what? So what? Except for the hardcore right-wing fundies and hardcore right-wing Republicans, our society has accepted that, don't you think? Aren't we broad-minded enough, most of us on the left? I know we are. I know damn well we are. It's, you know why he won't? Because he's afraid of people in his own party. That's why. That's why. But anyway, he's running for governor, and he's going to win the governorship. There's no question about that. He's way ahead in the polls. He's got enough money to buy himself several governorships. And they raised $2.5 million right here in little old Fort Myers, Florida, the other day for him. $2.5 million at one little cocktail party. But his opponent, Jim Davis, we had a good one running. His name was Rod Smith, who I thought would have made a great candidate. But Bob Graham, whom I love, got behind this guy, as Davis, and they've got him in there to run against Charlie Crist. And I often criticize people. I don't really, not too much, about being a one-issue voter. And I've told this story before, but you know what happened a year ago today? Let me go on to explain my disdain for this Jim Davis, and he's a Democrat. and I'm not going to vote for him. I'm not going to vote for his opponent either. I'm just not going to vote in the governorship race here. I'm not going to do it. And I know that sounds like a cop-out to some people, but I just can't do it. I can't do it. Even if I held my nose, the stink would still come through. 1 year ago today, you know what 1 year ago today was? Huh? The bankruptcy bill was passed. 1 year ago today, if I have my history right. And Jim Davis, candidate for governor, Democrat, voted for that bankruptcy bill. And I stated at that time that I could not, I would not, I will never back any candidate that voted for that bankruptcy bill. And I know maybe some of you think that's wrong. You think that's a bit narrow-minded. But we are starting to see the results of it now. And I said no true Democrat who would stick to the principles of the Democratic Party could ever vote for that bankruptcy bill. No Democrat. If you're a Democrat, I don't give a damn where you live, what kind of a state you live in. If you're a Democrat, you could not, you absolutely could not vote for that bankruptcy bill if you are really a Democrat. No, sir. Can't do it. You know, here we are. Incomes are stagnant. Healthcare and education costs are going through the roof. The middle class is struggling to make ends meet. And a year ago today, after a hardcore 8-year campaign by banks and retailers and credit card companies, our little Congress critters got together and made a horrible situation even worse and passed a law that makes it really tough for people who get laid off or face some sort of awful illness, made it really hard for them to file for bankruptcy. And over the last year, personal bankruptcy cases have plummeted. But only because hundreds of thousands of people rushed to file before the strict law took effect. In 2005, we had a record 1.78 million people file bankruptcy. 1.78 million voted for that bankruptcy bill. Sickening. I mean, you know, filed for bankruptcy. What am I saying? Nevertheless, it's just a matter of time before the number of people filing bankruptcy gets back up to a normal level. And those who do file bankruptcy from now on, people that really need to, are going to find it really tough. It's going to cost a lot. It's going to be confusing. I had a quote here from a lawyer. I can't find it right now. I know he was from Alexandria, Virginia. Anyway, he said it's designed to make life miserable for anybody who owes money. It's the help the bank squish the little guy law is exactly what it is. And it was they got it done with a myth, on the basis of a myth. The credit industry jammed the bankruptcy bill, and they wrote it. The credit industry wrote this bill and jammed it. You know, you talk about K Street. Man. They jammed this bill through Congress on the theory that a whole lot of people, a significant number of people, were defrauding the system and that they were declaring bankruptcy when they actually could pay some or all of their debts. This has proved false. And since the new law took effect, credit counselors are reporting that fewer than 5% of the filers have the ability to repay any of their debts. And it was a bogus argument anyway. They said they were getting defrauded. Hell, look at some of the interest rates they got on some of these credit cards with people that they've enticed people to get that have poor credit. Charging 22, 24, 25, 28% interest. They did that to protect themselves from losses. And they knew they were going to have some losses from people with credit that's not so good for whatever reason. They knew that. And so they compensated with the interest rates to make it up, and they did make it up. But they passed this law and appealed to the Joe Biden even. God. Well, you know, these banks, they really had it tough because people were filing bankruptcy fraudulently. And I can't say that word today. It was a crock. The real impact of that law was to make it tough and very costly for people who are genuinely broke to get back on their feet. They've increased the basic filing costs by about $200. It now costs you between $2,000 and $3,000 to file bankruptcy. And you know, I can't remember the percentage, but it was very high of the bankruptcies caused by medical bills, which makes it a further crime to pass this bill. Even bigger crime. Someone has a catastrophic illness in the family and had to file bankruptcy because they didn't have enough money left to feed the family and pay the mortgage, and a Democrat votes for this bill? I told Jim Davis what an ignorant bastard he was for doing this. Heartless. Absolutely heartless. He said, "Oh, well, you haven't read the bill." Yes, sir, I read the bill. My question is, did you read it? You helped sponsor it. Did you even read it? Anyway. And people are getting hosed really good on this. They're being told by debt collectors that the bankruptcy is no longer available. I know somebody that had a debt collector, and exactly because of medical bills, hundreds of thousands of dollars of medical bills. And they started hounding and calling him and told him that, you know, you can't file bankruptcy anymore. I actually told him that. Kicking the middle class while they're down. And one thing this new law hasn't done, it hasn't helped anyone get out of debt. Middle class people are struggling to pay for a home and their health insurance and their transportation and their kids' college education. And most of them, paying for a kid's college education nowadays is nothing but a dream. Because we got a lousy labor market. We got higher prices on things. People are borrowing record amounts of money just to keep the household going. So, if you hear me say a disparaging remark or two about Jim Davis, the Democrat candidate, and somebody asked on the chat room, can we repeal that thing if we win? I think so. But the banks have bought enough of our politicians and put them in their pocket that I doubt they can get it done. So, yeah, I will vote in the governor's race. I'll vote for the Reform Party candidate, Max Zinn, that we had on recently. I think we're having him on again Thursday. I think Thursday. So, I know I shouldn't talk about it so much, but I that bankruptcy bill, that's got me so pissed off. And let's change the subject. Let's change the subject. That just burns me up when I think about it anymore. We were talking earlier about everything being Clinton's fault. And, you know, you don't know when you watch the news nowadays, you almost expect every evening when you turn on the news that you're going to hear about some politician being on the take. What, 90-some percent have been Republicans lately? And we got this Kurt Weldon story come out. You know, weapons of mass destruction, Kurt Weldon? What was that? What was it he called that that deal he had going, him and Crazy Santorum, Mr. Bestiality Santorum? Him and Weldon were out spreading the word on finding the... We found him! We found the WMDs! He actually was in Iraq and tried to commandeer an army... tried to get the military over there to give him a vehicle so he could get some pictures taken with these old canisters of gas, so-called WMD gas that was, like I said, you got stuff under your kitchen sink, more dangerous. But we found him. We found him. Me and Santorum, we found him. Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity got on. Yes, we found the weapons of mass destruction, those damn Democrats. We knew they were there all along, and we found them. Well, anyway, that was Kurt Weldon. And now they're finding out. They raided his daughter's house, and he's been doing a little business with the Russians over an oil and gas deal, and it seems like his daughter, who's a know-nothing person, knew nothing about the oil and gas business, knew nothing about lobbying or anything, suddenly ends up with a couple of million bucks from Russian oil and gas companies that now put their... You wouldn't believe what someone just said. Fableport just put on the chat room. But anyway, they got their offices in Jacksonville, Florida now, and this girl ends up with a whole pile of money. So they raided his office the other day, and they her house. And regarding that Kurt Weldon story, allow me to save my right-wing friends a little time here, like I normally do. It's that damn crew group again, just doing this to take the press's attention away from the Harry Reid land deal. That's what they're saying. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, you know, the group that they say is totally funded by George Soros. Isn't it odd how they always mention George Soros, George Soros, George Soros, like he's running the entire Democratic Party and funding the whole thing, and yet they never mention Richard Mellon's CAFE? Odd, don't you think? That's the kind of hypocrisy I'm talking about. Crew turned in Weldon, and the FBI must think there's something to it because they're going after him. And, you know, pass it off on the... This is the party of personal responsibility once again. I bet you this. I bet you Kurt Weldon goes down. Bet you he does. And the Jack Abramoff scandal, he was doing some of it during the Clinton administration. And everybody knows Clinton was having sex with Monica, which, by the way, is the absolute worst crime in American history. But he was having sex with her. Anyway, he didn't have time to personally watch Abramoff because of his affair with Monica, so it was his fault. Tom DeLay, Monica and Bill. Duke Cunningham, Monica and Bill. Bob Ney from Ohio, Monica and Bill. Mark Foley. Well, we know he was doing this for quite a while, so it could have been Monica and Bill's fault, but really it was that damn George Soros and crew. And what else? Though the Bush War in Iraq, it's Clinton's fault because Clinton knew that Junior Bush's daddy and St. Ronald of Reagan sold nasty weapons to Saddam and didn't do anything about it. 9/11, yeah, that's Bill Clinton's fault. How can that be Bill Clinton's fault, you ask? It's easy. Think about it. Very easy to blame that on Bill Clinton, because despite leaving lots of information that bin Laden was dangerous, Clinton had sex with Monica, so you can't believe a word Clinton says. Oh, and that, you remember this, the guy, a high-level advisor of Junior Bush's that got caught shoplifting at Walmart. You remember that one? Word has it that Clinton was driving a getaway car. So Kurt Weldon's probably right. It's Clinton and those damn Democrats who are behind every single bit of Republican corruption and incompetence. I think everybody knows it. Ask Bill. He might tell you. He might let you know. But you know, there's an old saying. An empty barrel makes a lot of noise. And their barrel's stone cold empty right now. And they're making a lot of noise. A lot of noise. And incidentally, I was thinking about that. You talked about that bill that Bush signed today, the torture bill. Is anyone else slightly freaked out that it's Junior Bush himself that's going to be the one to decide what is and what isn't torture? Does Junior Bush himself actually have the moral and ethical fiber to actually do that himself? I don't know. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. You folks are really quiet today. What do you think about the polls? Do you think we're going to take the House back? Do you think we're going to take the Senate back? I'm a little worried about the money. They say the Republicans got a ton of money waiting to do some last-minute attack ads. In fact, I heard around $50 million. So, you know, they might be doing that. I don't know. But I, you know, if you made me bet right now and looked at the latest polls and right before the show today, I think we'll take the House. I think we'll take the House and have a decent, comfortable margin. The Senate, man, that could end up 50-50. That really could end up 50-50. And if it does, they'll have the advantage because they'll have Darcheney in there to cast the deciding vote. And, of course, they'll also have Joe Lieberman to cast the deciding vote as well. So what am I thinking? I think if it ends up, and I really believe this, and I've said it before, if it ends up that his vote is meaningful to the Republicans somehow, I think Lieberman will switch parties. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. I think he should. I encourage him to switch parties. Be what you is. Lieberman is not a Democrat, hasn't been a Democrat, never been a Democrat. And if I want to fault Al Gore for something, I will fault Al Gore for picking him as a vice presidential candidate in the election. I thought that was a pitiful, pitiful choice. Didn't understand it then. Didn't understand their reasoning. Read it and heard it I don't know how many times, but I still think it was a stupid political mistake making Joe Lieberman. And I know what they're trying to do, but I didn't think it worked then, and I still don't. I think he needs to be drummed right out of the party. And Senator Sam Brownback, looking at some of the political news, Republican from Kansas, Sam Brownback, is blocking the confirmation of a Bush-nominated judge, Janet Neff, because she may have, as he said, once attended a commitment ceremony for a lesbian couple. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. A nominated judge may have once attended a commitment ceremony for a lesbian couple. Can you think of anything any worse? Sam Brownback, you might guess, from Kansas. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. There is some real desperation going on here. Of course, we've got, besides Kurt Weldon, we had another one today. We had Lester Crawford, the former FDA chief who resigned 2 months after being confirmed on the job. He's going to plead guilty today to charges that he hid his ownership in some stock. He had stock in food and drug companies that his agency regulated. Kept it nice and quiet. And one more. Gosh, we hit the trifecta today. Representative John Doolittle, Republican from California, acknowledged Monday that his lawyer, whom he's paid more than $38,000 in the last 2 months, is talking with the Justice Department about the congressman's relationship with disgraced lobbyist, oh, who knew, Jack Abramoff. Doolittle has denied he is under investigation for his corruption. Well, I wonder. I wonder. Somebody writes on the, I don't know if that's fair or not. Somebody writes on the chat room, Pablepore. Well, you guys got a good sense of humor today. Call him Sam Bareback. Hey, and something, I'm a devout Ohio State Buckeye fan. You know that. And as you might understand, I'm pretty happy the way things are going this year so far. Not getting overconfident. Just like the election, I'm not getting overconfident, but I do love my college football. And our big rivalries are those folks up north of the border in Ohio there, a state called Meat Chicken. Anyway, this took place in Meat Chicken, and you might, this is out of the Columbus Dispatch newspaper, and of course the Columbus Dispatch newspaper in Ohio never misses a good story that takes place in Meat Chicken. Ralph Kluck. Good name. Ralph Kluck has made a rosary fit for the Jolly Green Giant. The 76-year-old has displayed a 70-foot, 700-pound rosary made out of bowling balls in his front yard. It's a sign of his devotion, and it's a good idea, said Kluck's priest. Oh, he's got the priest behind this, the Reverend Darius Wazinski. What else do you do with an old bowling ball? It took a little ingenuity and a few dozen phone calls to bowling alleys and their patrons for Kluck to scrounge up the requisite number of rosary balls. He combined 59 balls. Here we go again. The turkeys and now this. He combined 59 balls, 20 cans of pastel spray paint, 40 feet of black piping, and a wooden cross. He said, I do crazy things, but they're not really crazy. He anchored the balls in the ground with a 9-inch metal stake And he said they almost rolled off of his 30 acres and onto the street. He said the hardest part was going to be cutting my grass around him. Well, you got to give that guy credit. That's not bad. That's not bad. He's done a pretty good job right there. Yeah. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. And where was I here? I've lost my place, although I really don't have a place, as you can tell today. Somebody sent me a really cool song I was going to play for you today, and I'm having a hard time finding it here. Where is it? There it is. Yeah, here we go.
My heart is heavy.
Stick with me on this.
For all that has gone wrong, a sadness on our land rolls o'er me like sand. My soul is trembling in the shadows of the night. Our leaders teach fear. Our future seems drear. My mind is troubled by a world out of control. Have we lost our choice? Have we lost our voice? Look to the horizon, the sunlight can break through. What happens, my friends, all depends on what we do. Let's find our way out of the darkness, America renew. The shining way to a bright new day begins with me and you. We have the power, we have the power to change the world.
They just show me the door. Outrageous, they'd engage us in a fight whose only wages is the hatred through the ages of the country we hold dear. Democracy, not theocracy. Platitudes and attitudes, hypocrisy. The villains with the millions call upon their gods to damn the difference, but against all odds.
We have the power. We have the power to change the world.
Power. We have the power to
Crowd, the haves and the have-mores. Some people call you the elite. I call you my base.
Oh, it's true.
Call Guy James now. 1-866-546-5254.
Hey, welcome back. Big long song, wasn't it? A little too generic for me, if I'm going to be honest about it. I played that for somebody, and I'm not sure if I liked it or not, so there you go. Someone gives me a song to play, and I criticize them. Aren't I terrible? Well, you know. Anyway, welcome back to the Guy James Show. Glad to have you along today. Kind of a wild show today. Our subject matter has been all over the place. Speaking of all over the place, I want to... You know, we've talked today about the morals and ethics of the right-wingers and their personal responsibility and all. And I heard something today, this morning, that I stole it off of a website that I got to play for you, that I think is the lowest of the low. I don't know that as a commentator you can get any lower than this. I don't think Ann Coulter may have gotten any lower than this, but this is that freak Cal Thomas, very right-wing, religious, evangelical Christian, just always speaks for all the Christians. I tell you. So I'm going to let me know if you agree with this. I think you can't get any lower than this.
Surely, Neil, there are other reasons than Mark Foley to decide what party you're going to vote for this November.
Yeah, but you reap what you sow. I mean, after spending 2 years of attacking Bill Clinton for his sexual escapades, now the Republicans are in high dudgeon because, you know, the media wants to deal with another sexual situation.
Well,
this time
resigned.
I'm a Republican.
He did resign, but look, here's the untold story that the media haven't covered. The pages have been painted as some kind of virginal, hermetically sealed young people. If you talk to the Capitol Police, as I do, there are a lot of these kids, including female pages, who undress in front of windows with the shades up and who cavort in the pool.
Is this known as Republican
naked?
Sham?
No.
To blame
true.
The victim?
No.
That's what we're getting here?
I'm just saying that the way the media have portrayed the pages is that they're all little virginal, innocent people. That's not necessarily the case.
Oh, poor guy. Okay, he got entrapped in
it. No, I'm not saying that.
But it also has nothing to do. It also has nothing to do with what Foley himself did in his email.
Here we have Cal Thomas, spokesman for the religious right, columnist in many newspapers across the country, blaming the Foley affair on the pages. Personal responsibility. I was absolutely flabbergasted. At first, I thought it must be some sort of a joke. You can't get down in the mud any lower than that. And here's a guy that's highly esteemed. I'm going to play that again. If you weren't paying attention, I'm going to play it again.
Surely, Neil, there are other reasons
on the Fox,
than Mark
Fox
Foley
Network
to decide
on one of the Fox
what
shows.
Party you're going to vote for this November.
Yeah, but you reap what you sow. I mean, after spending 2 years of attacking Bill Clinton for his sexual escapades, now the Republicans are in high dudgeon because, you know, the media wants to deal with another sexual situation.
Well,
this time
resigned.
I'm a Republican.
He did resign, but look, here's the untold story that the media haven't covered. The pages have been painted as some kind of virginal, hermetically sealed young people. If you talk to the Capitol Police, as I do, there are a lot of these kids, including female pages, who undress in front of windows with the shades up and who cavort in the pool.
This is known as Republican
naked.
No. It's
blame
true.
The victim.
No.
That's what we're getting
at. I'm just saying that the way the media have portrayed the pages is that they're all little virginal, innocent people. That's not necessarily the case.
Oh, poor guy. Okay, he got entrapped.
This is Cal Thomas, highly respected, hardcore right wing asshole. Betsy says on the chat room, did you see what Freckles wrote about this, the voice of a teen? No, I didn't see. Cal Thomas is on a I tell you where you can find that. I'm pretty sure it's on Crooks and Liars or MediaMatters.com. Yeah, go to Media Matters. It's on there, I'm sure. Yeah. I got too many browsers open on this thing in front of me right now, or I'd go look it up right now. But I'm pretty sure it's on MediaMatters.com from today. I don't know how you could get down in the crap, in the mud, whatever, any more than that right there. And this is a guy who writes a column for my local newspaper. Yes, indeedy. He is a regular columnist on the Fort Myers News Press. The kind of guy that the right-wingers around here love to read. They polled the readership of the newspaper, and he's one of them that they wanted. Mm-hmm. That's right. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
You got a great show today.
Thank you.
You know, you were talking about Cal Thomas, and somebody else on the Republican side said something similar. I forget, you know, when this all came out. But I'm wondering how long it's going to take when some man socks some of these people for what they're saying about their children.
Yeah.
Or worse, some mother.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. If I was the father of a daughter who was a page there, mm-hmm. I'd have to hunt him down and smack him right in the chops. I would have to.
Well, you know, we mothers do that for our sons too.
Yes, yes.
And then he probably I'm telling you, I mean, they better be careful what they say.
That's the worst one I've heard. I have not heard a worse comment than that.
And for him to be so la-di-da, you know.
Oh, yeah. He's very righteous, you know. He's always given us the religious views in the newspaper. And is he a columnist in your local paper?
I don't know. I don't get the paper.
Oh, okay.
I look on the internet because I can't read that print. It makes me sick.
Well, just
he probably is somewhere.
Yeah, he's
because I have read his articles, you know.
He's syndicated all over the country, and
I
would have thought that comment would have made the media everywhere. I would thought every talk show would have that on, but they haven't.
Well, you know, you just say that they're leaving their windows open. I mean, my gosh, you know, and that's blaming the victim.
Yeah.
But I just wish some parents would get a hold of those people.
Yeah.
And I won't be surprised if they don't.
No, I wouldn't either. And he deserves it. He deserves it.
He
just needs a good smack in the old chops by mom or dad of a page.
Right.
And I hope they at least get a hold of him and let him know what they think, because that's a despicable comment. He is
you
not.
You think they should be able to just sue them for something like that too.
I would hope so. I would hope so.
Because
they're not public figures. So it's terrible. Really.
Well, they're becoming public.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're naming names. A lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been named. A lot of the kids, ex kids.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you, Juanita.
Bye bye.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody said on the chat room, wouldn't surprise me if their sex addiction could keep Dr. Ruth busy for the next three afterlives. Isn't it odd, don't you think, that the comments... It seems to me that we on the liberal side of the coin like to be honest and open and tell you how it is and If you're straight or gay or transsexual or whatever you happen to be, and are not afraid to tell people what we are and not afraid to discuss things of a sexual nature. It's part of life, after all. We're not John Ashcroft that has to cover up a statue who's been in the Justice Department for God knows how long with bare breast. Aren't they kind of sick? Isn't there something really sick about that? I think so. I really think it is sick. And you know, they got a guy like Rush Limbaugh in their midst. And he's their spokesman. He's their main spokesman. And he goes down to the Dominican Republic, and God only knows what he got into down there, or who. Women, children, men, I don't know. But he's their spokesman. And they hide everything. They got the, oh no, we can't talk about that. I don't know. It's a different breed of cat. It's a completely different breed of cat. I don't know. Let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hiya, Bill.
Hey, listen, how about those Buckeyes, huh?
Hey, yes, indeed.
Looking good.
Yeah.
Looking good.
Looking real good.
I might get kicked off the show today, so.
Oh, really?
If you're going to give me the boot.
All right, I got my finger on a button right here, right now.
Okay, because I kind of think you will give me the boot. I'm going to have to agree with Karl Rove. Jesus, God, did I say that?
Wait a minute. Oh. Help me, I've gone blind. Help me.
This is Bill from Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah, home of Tom Noe or whatever his name is.
That's right.
Home of the world's best coin collector.
Now, I haven't gone completely nuts, Guy.
All right.
But the part of him saying about them evangelical nuts, I'm going to have to agree with him.
Yeah.
I mean, you take the Dobbs and... Well, the whole gang, I liked the other day you called them those evangelical rats.
Yeah.
I just love that.
Oh, I mean, they're just scamming people. It's terrible. I think there's nothing much worse than that.
Yeah, so in that part, I had to agree with Karl Rove, and then that's the end of that.
Okay.
Am I still on the air?
Well, you know, Rove, you know, blind hog and the acorn once in a while. You got to get one once in a while.
Yeah, that's right. Guy, I wanted to say something about what Bush said when he was at that press conference. It just burned me up. Of course, I didn't listen to it, but I caught it on the web. And the part that he said, you really got to appreciate, I'm not saying his exact words, but he said how the Iraqi tolerate.
Oh,
And I thought, tolerate?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That just, when that word tolerate just sent me mm-hmm. to the roof.
And they've tested their tolerance, haven't they? And they're going to continue to test their tolerance.
Boy, they sure are, aren't they? You see how many American soldiers we have right now?
Yeah.
In just 17 days, almost 60 dead Americans in 17 days.
And look at the carnage of the Iraqi people. Just the other day, there was 80 in one day.
Oh, my God. How could you leave your house, Guy?
No.
How could you go any place? I'm absolutely sure a woman does not venture out.
No.
Unless it's absolutely necessary, unless she's got people, armed guards around her. I would never let my wife out of the house. I'll guarantee you that.
Well, you know, they say... when this whole thing started, it was kind of easy for the press to get embedded along with the service people over there. But now it's almost impossible because the press is the news is so bad that they really don't want it coming out in public. So they're in order to get embedded nowadays, you almost have to get embedded with a group that's based inside the green zone because they don't want the press to see what's actually happening over there. It's awful. I mean, it's worse than awful.
And then, Guy. I was, when those figures came out, I think they came out about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and I caught them just as soon as they came out. And I listened to Bernie Ward talk a little bit about them. And then So I was waiting to catch the news, and I get three PBS channels here in Toledo. I get it out of Bowling Green, I get it out of Toledo, and I get it out of Chicago. And that was their opening story, was on what happened with these figures, that these doctors. And, you know, they had to show death certificates for those deaths. So this isn't made up figures.
No, we're going to have at
I can't wait for this.
Yeah, about 5:15, he's going to talk about that today.
This ought to be an interesting guest. I can't wait to hear.
Bush has got no credibility at all when he just flat out says, "Oh, this is not credible." He didn't know what he's talking about.
But you know, they said they got to have death certificates for that, and that's the same kind of thing that they would take in the hurricanes. Earthquakes, the same, what they use to figure out the deaths and that when there's a large amount of deaths. It's the same thing that you use worldwide. It was just not something made up for Iraq.
Yeah, the tsunami and over in the Sudan and the Congo and all those. I mean, it's not.
How could he say something like that? That they tolerate that?
Oh, it's he. Bill, think about it though. What can he say? What can he say?
Anybody could. And what I was going to say about those three all of those, the sound was completely off on all three channels. At the very beginning, the show, when they started the show, the sound was on. But as soon as they started talking about the amount of deaths that has been recorded in Iraq, the sound went completely off. I went to all three channels. One of them took the picture off. The other two kept the pictures on, but the sound off.
Oh, wait a minute. Go back and tell me, refresh me on what you're talking about here.
PBS.
Okay.
Out of England.
All right.
Okay, BBC.
BBC.
Yeah, I didn't get that correct with you right away. It was a BBC out of England, Great Britain, we should say. And they had this story, and the story ran for about almost 10 minutes. They really covered it hard. The sound was completely off on two channels, and on another channel, they had a picture of a church. And no sound, no nothing, just the picture of the church.
Wow, I didn't
know. And that stayed like that for 10 minutes. When that story was over, the sound came back on, and the rest of the broadcast came out perfect on all three channels. And then, oh, my God, why didn't you cover that more, that plane hitting that building in New York?
Yeah.
Oh, was that over-covered or what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And here we lost, two people lost their lives in that. And here's a major story that almost 700,000 people have died in 3 years in this war. And what coverage did it get? You know, it got no coverage at all.
Yeah, but Bill, you know they're mostly brown people.
Oh, my God, I can't believe what this man has done, Guy.
It's no, just, I can't either.
It floors me every day.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I agree. I don't think there's.
So I want to get my 2 cents in worth. And
well, mark us down. It's the October 17th, 2006. Bill from Toledo agrees with Karl Rove.
Yeah. One last question, Guy. What about Indiana coming up?
No problem.
No problem.
No
problem. You don't think with them. Winning this last game in Indiana, that upset?
Nah, doesn't matter.
We don't have to worry about it?
Nah, don't worry.
And one last question for you. Did you get that mailbox fixed?
No.
That story about that guy who spoke, he was from India, on your mailbox?
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
You had so many packages, you could not get your mailbox.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. Now I'm with you. Yeah, I got it fixed. You know what? I had to call Washington.
Yeah, I know. And 5 minutes later, somebody come out.
Yeah, it was the most shocking thing. Yeah, it's fixed. But I still get my neighbor's mail. My wife saw me the other day standing out at the post box and sorting the mail. She says, what are you doing? And I said, I'm sorting the mail because half of this is our neighbor's mail. You know, they don't care.
Well, the reason I said that, you're going to work on Election Day, aren't you? You're going to broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
Have the horn come out with whether you guys are going to have stay on or whether you guys are going to be talking together? What kind of coverage are we going to have?
I don't know yet. We are still in a quandary of exactly what we're going to do that day because I've got to work at the polls in the morning as an observer.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I got my binoculars and my gun and everything. I'll be ready. I could practically see the poll from my house.
I'm hoping you guys are going to have some kind of special show.
Well, we'll see if we can. We'll see if we can.
But I'm going to send you a little something the day before election to maybe open on election night.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
That's why I wanted to ask about your post box.
All right, it's fixed.
All right, listen, you take care, and you got a great, some kind of show going today.
Yeah, it's a wild one.
Anytime you
bring turkey testicles into it, you know, you can't miss with that.
And that call from Columbus, that was great.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Okay, guy.
Bye now. Oh, yeah, it was the call from Columbus that started the whole thing, wasn't it? Good old Columbus, Ohio, home of my beloved Ohio State Buckeyes. And I have to be careful what I say because there are some people, you know, we have this big rivalry with the folks up north of Ohio. I guess I have to tell you a story. You wonder about my affiliation, why I live in Florida now. Why don't I root for Miami University or the Florida Gators or the Florida Seminoles? I was at the beach one day shortly after I moved to Florida, and I got to talking to some guy from Illinois, and he said that he used to be from Illinois and that he was a big Illini fan. And as we departed, he said, "Who are you going to go with now?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, since you live in Florida, are you going to root for the Gators, the Noles, or Miami?" I called my brother that night and told him that story, and brother said, "He doesn't understand, does he?" "No, just doesn't understand." Once you got that scarlet and gray blood in your veins, it just never goes away. It's just something, the call of the wild, that whole sort of thing, you know. Hey, we've got another hour coming up. Oh, there they are on the chat room. They're still still talking about the turkey testicles. Well, I tell you what, someone's going to have to get out some Mr. Clean and scrub that chat room page today. I don't know, Agnes, do you do that? Elo, do you do? Somebody's just going to have to get a mop and clean it up. I tell you, this is a rambunctious group on there today, and I want to say hello to all the folks over at Democratic Underground that listen, and the folks at Democrats.com and Smirking. Do all of you read Smirking Chimp? Doggone good site, I might tell you. I like Smirking Chimp. I always have. I do wish they hadn't taken that. That morphing smirk, smirking chimp off the. They had a picture of Bush that a chimp that morphed into Bush and then back again. I think they took it off there. I don't see it anymore. I always kind of liked that. I got a good laugh out of that. Yeah, well, they're talking on the chat room now. How about the mountain oysters? They're talking about prairie oysters. They got mountain oysters too, you know. You're talking to a farm boy here. Hey, I'm glad you're with us today. This has been kind of a zany show. Didn't mean for it to end up that way, but it's, well, of course, it's not ended up either. We got another hour to go. We're going to have Bo Grosskopf. He's author of a new book called Strategic Terror, The Politics and Ethics of Aerial Bombardment, but we're not going to talk about that today. This guy's an expert on military matters, and we're going to talk about this new study out about the... Well, the report claiming about 650,000 Iraqis have been dead since the start of the U.S. invasion. And he knows. Here's a guy that could sit down and explain this to Mr. Bush. He could explain this to Mr. Bush, and he may even comprehend it. Bush would, maybe. Maybe not. Maybe not. Do want to remind you that Bob Kincaid is going to be joining you tonight at 6 o'clock. He will go from 6 to 10 with Bob Kincaid Show, so do be ready for that. And let's see, what is it? What is this, Tuesday? Yeah, tomorrow he has his Wednesday night prayer meeting, which is always a kick as well. So, hey, we're going to pause for a break, and we'll be back in just a moment or two.
Quality News Network. If you are not hearing the background sound of the teletype machines, QNN is temporarily off the air. We broadcast the finest hourly newscasts in the country from 6 a.m. through 6:05 p.m. Pacific Time, Monday through Friday.
Well, it's nice when you let us know that.
Just click on the home page to hear the newscast. The latest newscast is available on demand for an hour after the broadcast. Click Latest.
Well, there you
QNN
got all the info you ever need.
Two interview series, one with candidates in the 2006 elections, the other with special guests. For more information, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com. If you are hearing this message during normal broadcast hours, a technical problem, natural disaster, or human error has temporarily interrupted our news service.
Natural disaster?
Please check back. We hope to have the situation
corrected. Or human error.
Thank you for listening.
Well, there you go. There you go. No news today. How about that? They're having a problem. They're just not there. You know, when you can't depend on the news, who can you depend on? That's a really sorry situation right there. Oh, my. Maybe they'll come back in a minute, but I don't see any evidence of that whatsoever. Oh, what the heck. Let's just go ahead and start this hour over with like we normally do.
Throw the second switch. Throw the third switch.
Not the third switch.
Throw it, I say. Throw it.
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life, you hear me? Give my creation.
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
All right, that went really well. Ah, the news. Did you ever turn on Walter Cronkite and he wasn't there? No. Did you ever turn on Dan Rather and he wasn't there? No. Come on. I know. We're not dealing with CBS here, but damn. Hey, I wonder, those of you that watch the evening news, do any of you listening to the program watch the evening news? I have yet to see, what's her name, Katie Couric. I've yet to see her do the evening news. Is it, I've heard it's not going well. What's your opinion on that? By the way, you can give us a call, 866-546-5254. We're going to have Bo Grosskopf on with us in about 10 minutes or so. What about this Katie Couric thing? Do you think she's capable of doing a good job on the news? And no, it's got nothing to do with her being a gal, nothing whatsoever. Best newscaster I think I ever heard, next to Walter Cronkite, was Linda. She used to be on CNN. Ah, damn, can't think of her name. You know, she wasn't beautiful, so they took her off. Linda, maybe I'm all wet. Maybe it wasn't Linda. But anyway, she was a damn good newswoman, so that's got nothing to do with it. Yeah, it shouldn't have anything to do with it. I hope it doesn't. But have you noticed, have you ever looked that all the news gals now, all a bunch of little cuties, most of them, you got to be gorgeous and blonde or whatever, and Linda Ellerbe, thank you very much. Somebody on the chat room, Linda Ellerbe. Linda Ellerbe was the best, one of the very best reporters I think I ever saw. I really enjoyed her a lot, and I miss her. I wonder if she's still around doing news or anything. But you know, she wasn't what they want nowadays. She wasn't real gorgeous. She's probably a little bit overweight, this, that, and the other thing. And she could be a news anchor anytime. Better than any of the news anchors there are right now, I think. But that's just my opinion. Hey, since we missed out on the news, let's do a little news. And this is especially for Bill in Toledo, because this is from Toledo, Ohio. Attorneys for a politically connected coin dealer accused of stealing from a $50 million state investment unveiled their defense for the first time, arguing that their client had a deal that allowed him to use the money however he wanted. Tom Noe's contract to oversee the investment for the Ohio Bureau, and Republican, by the way, the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation permitted him to borrow money from the investment fund or loan it to others, his attorney, William Wilkerson, said Monday. He said, you can't steal something from the owner of a property if they give you permission to use it. Well, well, well. Prosecutors say Noe was deep in debt when he got the $50 million from the Ohio Workers' Comp Fund. And he was supposed to be buying coins with it. See, he told the state, can you imagine this? He told the state that he was buying rare coins with it and investing it. And they sent auditors to check and found out that he only had about, instead of $50 million or $20 million or however much it was, he only had about $600,000 in actual coins. And the rest he'd, you know, he worked. Hey, come on, the guy's got to live. He has a home down in Key West. He had to fix that up a little bit. Some of the money went for that. And he's living a pretty nice... he also gave $45,000 to Bush's reelection campaign. And, you know, a few little things like that. Ooh, boy. Hey, let's go with the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, is this the real Guy James Show, the Rocky Mountain Oysters, and the Guy James Consortium?
Yes, this is it.
This is Eric Peterson.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Katie Couric. Oh my gosh.
That bad.
I like Katie. You know, I mean, but she shouldn't be paid like multiple millions of dollars of contracts when you have some great people, male, female, but you know, we'll use the sexual orientation. Christiana Amanpour.
Yeah.
That's what you call journalism.
You betcha. I agree.
Journalism.
You bet.
I mean, this lady is like great, and she put herself in there. And she didn't do the Today Show and have a fight with Brian Gumbel and blah, 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 yada, yada. But that's not the reason I was calling. I was wondering, I heard on VPR, Vermont Public Radio, a feed from National Public Radio, and it has to do with workers' unions in terms of outsourcing the 12, 14 hours at 30 cents a wage. Hourly, 7 days a week kind of stuff that many of our U.S. companies are taking away from our middle-class workers in this country. And I was really wondering about what this person was saying. Unfortunately, I was driving the car. I didn't have a time to be able to write the telephone number down or any sort of information about him. And he had a concept, and this was someplace, and I'll get back to you on this someplace, hopefully, research-wise. But he had a concept of global workers' union. And the concept was for some of these companies that take their businesses as an industry and outsource them for these 30 cents an hour, 12, 14-hour days in China, India, wherever, and take that profit for the corporation, not capitalism, but take that profit for the corporative people that we have as U.S. in industries in this country, bring the money back, throw it into the Cayman Islands, avoid taxes for the U.S. government. Don't want to get into the patriotism of supporting your government on that in terms of U.S. corporations, but the concept was to target, rather than one company, to target the industry across the board. For example, if you have a textile industry and, you know, company A, B, C, D, and whatever, all of them, you target the whole industry rather than to target one individual company, which would lose their competitive edge by having a union entrenched within that one company, and the company itself would be at a competitive loss in terms of being able to compete with other companies, B, C, D, and E, whatever. Have you heard of any of this?
It's an interesting concept, a very interesting concept. The thing is, as you know, we would need a modern-day Samuel Gompers coming from somewhere. Only he'd have to, or several of them, are going to do it around the world. Something's going to have to be done, or we're going to be the country that they're outsourcing stuff to for a quarter an hour. I mean, it's going to take a big long. It's going to go in a big circle. We're outsourcing jobs to India, to China, to whatever, and they're all getting a financial benefit from it, and their wages will start to go up inevitably. They won't be able to keep their workers down forever, and they'll be more affluent, and it'll eventually come back around to us. I don't know. Something's going to have to be done. You know, we're living in a country now that doesn't make anything anymore, very little.
And that again is a security. That to me is a national security problem. That we don't make anything more in this country.
You
that
bet.
We outsourced everything. I mean, what if another Pearl Harbor came in the old-fashioned way of the Japanese invading Pearl Harbor in a out-of-the-blue attack on December 7th, 1941, and then we had the whole country, and we had ration coupons, and everybody knew, and everybody sacrificed for this effort that we had.
Yeah, and Ford.
What happens with that?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And Ford and Chrysler turned some of their auto plants into building tanks, and others turned theirs into building airplanes and munitions and so forth. We're not going to have any manufacturing capability left. You are so right. That is more of a security issue than people want to admit. I mean, that's a great point.
But how come the I mean, it's a dumb question. But, I mean, how come the mainstream media really doesn't jump on there? I mean, I know Dobbs climbs on this tree every once in a while, but, you know, he doesn't really hang on the branch long enough to be able to figure out really everything that he needs to communicate to his audience.
Well, no, because, I mean, because Dobbs and his audience are not amongst those who how do I want to say this without offending people in his business? They're amongst the people that don't produce anything, don't make anything. You know, in the investors class of people that really, you know, there's a whole class of people in this country, the stockbrokers, people that don't make anything, don't do anything, and make money off the, you know, from the fringes of manufacturing. I don't know. I just... That's a perplexing problem, and one we're going to have to solve, or we will never come back.
I know that you have some communication with Tom Hartman. I do know that I watched the C-SPAN book review that he did this past weekend, mm-hmm. whatever, from Tom Hartman on his book called Screwed.
Yeah.
And it was an excellent, I mean, he could be my economics professor 35 years ago or so, but it was a really excellent presentation for that one program that C-SPAN put on in terms of the middle class, how they've gone up here somewhere around the late 1700s, and then they came down, and then they have Taft-Hartley, and the Republicans passed, I guess, right? Help me out, he's
right.
dying.
Yeah, you're right.
Right, in
yeah.
the late 40s,
yeah.
and it just sort of put a scrunch on. Then you had the air traffic controllers with Reagan and so on and so forth. And it's not that I'm really pro-union, I'm not really big business, but the fact of the matter is, it's still the balance. It's still the balance. You have to have forces working against each other in order for some sort of middle ground to reach some sort of parity for everyone.
That's right. That's right. And the balance has gone away, and the old teeter totter is tilted. And I'll tell you, I don't see it coming back. I don't know how it's going to come back. I really don't know. Here we got the likes of your Walmarts and all that taking over the country business-wise. Now I see they're big time into China and bought a bunch of grocery stores in China. And I heard one of the big Walmart people say the other day, he said I won't live to see it, but it won't be long until we have 2,000 stores in Walmart in China. And everybody's going to leave America behind, and that bothers me. It does. Hey,
I'm sorry.
I've got to get a hold of my guest here.
I apologize.
No, you don't have nothing to apologize. You know, you've given us something to ponder there. That the security issue, I think we dwell too much on it about the financial end of it. But the security end of it is, you're exactly right. When we cranked up the World War II war machine, we had everything in place to do it. But if we had to do it again, I don't know. I guess they're not planning on ever fighting any conventional wars and ever needing any vehicles or airplanes or anything again. I don't know. Hey, Eric, good to hear from you.
Well, it's good to have you on an extra hour so that I could be able to talk to you.
Yeah. Well,
I hope to listen to your guest here in the future tonight.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All righty. We're going to be back in just a moment or two. Stay tuned.
I've always hated Blockbuster.
Target, McDonald's, The Gap, Pepsi, Nike, IBM,
Starbucks, not quite so much. If I'm not boycotting at least three oil companies, I start to feel out of touch. I wouldn't be seen near Nordstrom's or any such. And I hate Walmart. I don't like whips. I don't like chains. I don't go chopping up my neighbor's brains. Don't really like shopping except at the flea market. I hate Walmart. Now you may wonder, what's all this fuss? If you don't like the train, take the bus. Well, I found religion, and just between us, Walmart. If you didn't hear the story, well, here's how it is. Big company sell the low cost, drive mom and pop out of business. Pretty soon all over the land, one big square store, identical brand, and that's why I hate Walmart. Used to be you drive around, stop in on three or four towns, encounter different sights and sounds, different if not unique. Different smell, different things to buy and sell. Now it's all Taco Bell. I hate Walmart. Rolled you the bad wine. You drive slow, relax your mind. Never knew what you'd find around the next bend. But now the freeway goes so straight in.
And we're back, and thank you for joining us here on the Guy James Show today, everybody. Glad to have all of you along with us here on the Head On Radio Network. with you a little later today than normal because of, like I told you before, we're splitting up Bruce's shift today, and he's on a little hiatus, much deserved and much needed. So here we are until 6 p.m. tonight. As promised, we have a gentleman that we've had on the program before, and we've been discussing this latest issue of deaths in Iraq, the latest report, and who better to discuss it with than Bo Grosskopf. He's author of the new book, Strategic Terror, The Politics and Ethics of Aerial Bombardment. He's a professor of international relations at California State University in Chico. And I don't think there's anybody much more qualified to talk about that situation than he is. Bo, are you with us?
I'm here.
Thank you for being on the program today.
You're very welcome.
This is a rather serious subject that people don't want to seem to talk about, and certain people don't want to talk about it, and have Mr. President has brushed it off as simply not credible, this latest report. And I thought about you talking about it, and I know you know what you're talking about, and I know there's been other experiences with huge numbers of deaths involved here. What do you think about this whole new study that's out?
I think, unfortunately, for both the Iraqis and for us, that it's probably the most accurate body count that anybody has done using a methodology that has proven to be unchallengeable and unchallenged even by the U.S. officials in the past. This is the methodology that goes out into the field. The researchers go out into the field and they investigate and they interview, and they require many times they require death certificates to prove that indeed, because obviously the bodies are in the ground or somewhere. So, you know, the discussion that has taken place, Guy, when the president says it's not credible, but obviously the major media doesn't ask him any other questions. If the president says it's so, it must be so. But the fact is that the same president in May relied on the methodology, the same researchers using the same methodology to count dead civilians in the Sudan and in the Congo, and there was no question raised about their methodology at that particular time. Of course, those were Africans killing Africans, and you know, there's a whole different perspective on that relative to what Americans are doing in a war against the Iraqi civilians. And so it's, you know, the questions are being raised on methodology for political reasons and not really for humanitarian reasons, unfortunately.
Isn't it something we can look at a report coming out of the Congo or the Sudan and see what it, I'm not sure my figures right now, but over the last 4 years, it's been something like 3 or 4 million deaths, and it's a blip on the news. It's just a blip, and so, well, you know, that's too bad.
Well, you know, unfortunately, we're not just you know, Americans, but In a world of nationalism, there is an emphasis on encouraging citizens of any nationality to simply dismiss the victims of the other. In other words, if it ain't wrapped in an American flag, why should I worry or be concerned? And, you know, unfortunately, that's pretty dangerous for the human condition, I think. They did a previous study. I don't know if your listeners know that the same researchers out of Johns Hopkins group did an earlier study that came out in October 2004, in other words, 2 years previous, in which their count was 110,000 Iraqi civilians dead, mainly women and children, 79% of those from U.S. bombing campaigns, which, you know, is part of the reason why I call my book Strategic Terror, The Politics and Ethics of Aerial Bombardment.
Well,
you know, we all consider, and rightly so, 9/11 to be a catastrophe and a terrorism event, and yet when you hear these new these recent numbers of what our bombers are doing in Iraq, I just have to raise the question, why isn't this considered a catastrophe of even greater proportions? And the answer has to be relative to your question. Well, you know, they're other people, and they're not really our chief concern.
Well, we seem to do that in any military conflict. We somehow hang a name on the others, the Krauts, the Japs, the ragheads. What else do they? Any disparaging name that you can come across with? They're dehumanized.
Well, we don't even have to go there. I mean, those are obviously racist terms, but we're encouraged just to see them as what the concepts are, as collateral damage and explained
right.
by the fog of war. The most recent terminology that's used that your listeners might have heard of is they're known as regrettable attrited byproducts of the war on terror.
Well, that's a
in other words, it's the objectification of other people's civilians.
Now, as I understand it, the study does include the 650,000 would include the combatants in Iraq. Did you understand it to read that way as well?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a total number, and it does break it down in pie charts in terms of, you know, as much as they can identify who killed whom. And while over this last 2 years, the number of civilians in raw numbers civilians killed by U.S. Bombing has increased, the percentage is down to 35, which really, you know, gives you a strong indication that a lot of these victims are a result of what people are denying is going on, which is a civil war.
Well, you know, a question comes up from my listeners. This is equivalent, and we as Americans, we just can't. It's so puzzling. We as Americans, if we had to look at this in terms of percentages, this would be the same as creating 300 or 400 or 500 9/11s.
Absolutely, and it would be the same as if you compared it with the same proportion of deaths to population, we'd be talking about millions of Americans dead, millions of North Americans dead in this kind of a situation. I mean, that's what I raise in the book is, you know, where is the outrage? Why is there no outrage? Why is it that we simply dismiss these folks or devalue these folks? And my answer is that there's a whole labyrinth of rationalizations that we have come to accept. That indeed, by our leadership, that indeed objectify these people and tell us, you know, they're not really worth worrying about, or that, you know, they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, or these are accidental deaths, or these are the result of the enemy using them as shields, you know, all kinds of, or, you know, they were sympathetic to the terrorists, therefore, they are terrorists, you know, all of these rationales. By the way, we saw a good example of these rationales that putting forth this summer with the Israeli bombing of Lebanon. We hear all those rationales.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they used them all. They used them all there. It's so disheartening. It really is so disheartening to think that that this many people have to die in order to meet an objective of our government. It almost makes us look like terrorists, and I'm wondering if by now, if our reputation isn't so far gone in the Arab and other Middle East countries, not necessarily Arab, but like in Lebanon and so forth, non-Arab. Actually, Iran really isn't an Arab country, I don't think, but I wonder if our reputation in those countries isn't so far gone that we'll be able to get it back. We'll ever be able to establish any trust with that area of the world again.
Well, it's certainly on shaky grounds within a majority of the more moderate constituents there, obviously, who want to believe that we are something different. But of course, according to the studies by our intelligence services that came out a few weeks ago, not only is our reputation shot with those people, but there are lots of people out there who have decided, you know, to take action against what they deem to be injustices. So that's really part of the sad story. And the other part, obviously, are these new reports that, all this has been done so that they can reinsert a pro-American strongman government there, as opposed to the democracy. You know, a lot of the soldiers who've gone over there and the people who supported those from this country thought, well, you know, we have a very highfalutin mission here, which is to establish democracy in another country, and all of a sudden we're hearing rumblings that, oh, well, that doesn't matter anymore, just the same as the WMDs didn't matter, just as the same as the all the other rationales they've given us, and so we're back to another strongman, just like we had and we supported for two decades by a guy by the name of Saddam Hussein. So,
and what kind of a government, what kind of a democracy do you have there when the government would have to live inside of the monstrous new U.S. Embassy compound anyway? If the place is that unsafe, that out of control, you're not looking at a democracy in any shape or form that I've ever seen. I did want to mention that I think I finally heard Dick Cheney tell the truth about something the other day, and I think you just hit upon it a moment ago. He said if we pull out of there, they're going to follow us home. Well, I think they're going to follow us home anyway. We've got to be on some hit list now, and there's got to be plans made. I mean, I'd be amazed if we didn't have another awful tragedy happen in this country. I really would. I'm looking for it.
Well, I hope not. I would hope that the end of the occupation would be soothing enough and celebrated enough that wouldn't happen. You know, that historically this is just a case study of the failures of occupations and foreign occupations, and just hope that the Iraqi people and the people who support them in the post occupation period would have enough to do and understand that this part of the tragedy is over and go about their business. But who knows? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball.
Well, am I to take from your statement right there that you think then that most of the killing and so forth going on over there now actually is from the insurgency and not from Al Qaeda types?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, it's pretty much agreed that even the language of the administration sort of does very clearly admit to that. In fact, you know, I've seen two studies that demonstrate that a lot of the killing that's going on is because of the presence of U.S. occupation forces, so that the insurgency is a part of it. But increasingly over the last 2 years, or particularly over the last year or even 6 months, stronger and stronger evidence is out about the killings being the work of militias and sectarian violence I think if I was to look at my crystal ball, I would say that, you know, a lot of this sectarian violence that is increasing is about trying to make sure that they have a place in a post-occupation Iraq, knowing full well that, the policy that the United States has there now, which is called staying the course, is really crashing and burning, and that's how it should be described, because that's what's going on.
One of my guests wants me to ask you: Do you have an opinion? Do you favor a quick withdrawal or a gradual one?
I've always thought that an immediate withdrawal is not problematic. I mean, you have to take some time to get people out and get out safely. But I have no problem. My mantra, I guess one might say, is that. If the argument that if we pull out, they'll have a civil war has been, you know what, if they want to have a civil war, they'll have a civil war. If they don't want to have a civil war, they won't have a civil war. That is the meaning of national self-determination, a principle that allegedly we stand for around the world.
And if they love their country, if they're in fact nationalistic enough, they will avoid that and do what's necessary to avoid it. And like you say, when we leave, there'd be no reason for most of these people to do any more fighting. So I don't know. It's a terrible problem. But I did want to ask you one more thing. I think the press in America gave this whole study, this whole story about the 650,000 Iraqi dead, rather short shrift. It was in and out of the news in no time. They gave it hardly any press, don't you think?
Well, they gave it more press than they gave the first study that came out in October 2004, because really once people say, oh, it's a methodological issue, then the press at that time ignored it. This time, at least, you had the president having to address it even though he dismissed it, and therefore had to be covered by the media. And it also had to, you know, they had the Pentagon and generals standing up there and saying, well, I don't believe the numbers are reliable. So, and of course, once they do that, you know, if a general says it, it must be true. If the president says it, it's not credible, it must be true. And we don't have a media. We still have a very compliant major media who, for some reason or another, is not really willing to ask, you know, questions that seem obvious to be asked. Well, how do you know that? Why do you say it's, you know, incredible or not credible? But again, we don't have that. And of course, you're right, Guy, that it has disappeared off even the back pages where it originally occurred.
Wouldn't it be great to sit down at a press conference in the Oval Office or wherever and be able to ask questions and actually get answers? Wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something new?
Yes, you know, I watched, you know, the tough questions being asked by Bill O'Reilly last night on his show to President Bush, and came away very disenchanted once again.
Yeah, I was somewhat surprised that O'Reilly was given the opportunity to interview him. I really was. I didn't think they'd the troubles O'Reilly's had and all that lately. Well, anyway, that's for another day. Bo, I do want to thank you so much for giving us your opinions on the show today, and continued success with your book, Strategic Terror, The Politics and Ethics of Aerial Bombardment. And that is a book, by the way, and I would have you take a moment to maybe toot your own horn on this, but that book is not just read and used by laymen, am I correct?
Well, let's hope not. You know, it's only been out since September in the United States, but I do hope that it is written for the lay person, because I like to write for the lay person, because I think it's important to inform and have people understand these kinds of issues. But you know, the audience in terms of quote marketing is for policymakers as well, and the academic community, and etc.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's written for a wide audience.
Yeah, very definitely. Thank you so much for being on the program today, ladies and gentlemen, Bo Grosskopf. Thank you,
Guy. Bye.
Well, you know, there's a guy that's done a lot of study on this thing, on this 650,000. There's a guy that you won't get to give you any BS. Just tells it like it is. If it hurts, okay. If it doesn't, okay. Just tells you the truth on it. And it's a doggone shame that we can't get a straight answer from our own administration. You know, when it comes down to it, I don't want to sound calloused on this, but what difference does it make? I think everybody would accept it's been 100, 150,000 or so. If you're a mass murderer, what makes a difference? Would you 150,000 or 600,000? Why not just admit it and get it over with? I don't know. Maybe that's not fair. No, really, it is fair. Hey, we're going to pause for a quick break. Be right back.
For the past 20 years, I've been voting Republican. The Republicans promised to reduce my taxes, lower my electric bills, and fix our school funding system. Well, I don't know about you, but my property taxes go up every year, my electric bills are through the roof, and the school funding system is still broken. I've had enough. When I get in the voting booth on November 7th, I'm not voting Republican anymore. I'm going to vote Democrat, and I hope you'll join me.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
And on Friday, I stood up and said, I don't appreciate the speculation about Don Rumsfeld. He's doing a fine job. I strongly support him.
But what do you say to critics who believe that you're ignoring the advice of retired generals, military commanders, who say that there needs to be a change?
Profits, bloody oil money, I'm above the law and I'll decide what's right or wrong. I am the egghead, I'm the commander, I'm the decider. Cuckoo, cuckoo, Baghdad City, policemen sitting pretty little targets in a row. See how they die when shrapnel flies, see mothers cry. I'm lying. Buying facts, exposing secret agents, tax cuts for the wealthy, leaving all the poor behind. I am the egghead, I'm the commander, I'm the decider.
I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Sitting in a White House garden, talking to the Lord. But my thoughts would be busy, busy hatching if I only had a brain. I am the egghead, I'm the commander, I'm the decider. Coo-coo-coo-choo-coo-choo.
We got different reputations. It's the established all voices. Tonight's the final decision. And Don Rumsfeld is doing a fine job. He's not only transforming the military, he's fighting a war on terror. He helped us fight.
Oh, yeah, fine job. Fine job, Brownie. Fine job, Rummy. They've all done a fine job. Haven't they all done such a terrific job? Condoleezza Rice has been a great Secretary of State. Oh, my. Has she been effective or what? She just has done all sorts of great, had diplomatic triumphs all over the world. Don Rumsfeld. Could anybody possibly want to run a war any better than Don Rumsfeld? And, of course, Dick Cheney. Could anybody possibly get people in more wars or suggest, folks, these people, God. There's a conservative advocacy group that's not only asking the what-if question, it's answering it. There's an email message that's gone around a lot, and I don't know if any of you have seen it yet. This is, what if the liberals win in November? Have any of you gotten this? What if the liberals win in November? It's titled, and it's been going around and around and around and around. It says the midterm elections are very important. The American Family Association says, as bad as things are, they will be infinitely worse if the liberals win. The AFA offers the following list, verbatim, of what conservatives can expect if Democrats regain control of Congress. If Democrats regain control of Congress, there'll be amnesty for 12 million illegal immigrants. If Democrats regain control of Congress, there'll be a push to make homosexual marriage and polygamy legal in all 50 states. Let me say that again. If Democrats are elected, these people say, there'll be a push to make homosexual marriage and polygamy legal in all 50 states. If Democrats are elected, they say only liberal judges will be appointed. They will create laws to implement the social agenda liberals cannot get passed through the legislative process. You know, let me stop there on that one. If we have the Democrats take power, why would we have to have liberal judges create laws to implement social agendas that we couldn't get passed through legislative process? Seems to me if we take power, we can pass anything we want, right? Says liberals will make the killing of the unborn more difficult to stop. Liberals will continue to try to rid our society of the Christian influence, including any reference to God in our pledge and on our currency. Have you heard the liberals say that we ought to take in God's trust off of our currency or in the pledge? They also say there'll be an increase in taxes to push new social programs. They'll be passing new hate crimes law, making it illegal to refer to homosexuality in a negative manner. Man, this is quite a story. Liberals will give terrorists from other countries who try and kill Americans the same rights Americans enjoy under our Constitution. If liberals are elected, we will withdraw from Iraq, sending the message to the terrorists that if they will just be patient, they can win and bring their terrorist acts to... Yes, hell yes. Yes, yes, yes. The American Family Association. I wonder who's behind this one. You know, I read crap like this, and I just have to wonder, what the hell is wrong with these people? Who gets this in their email and sucks it up? Who believes that if liberals are elected, that all of a sudden there's going to be polygamy in all 50 states? Who the hell believes that? Who believes that in God we trust is going to be taken off of our money? Why would we take that off? Who believes any of this crap? This American Family Association. You know, we'll withdraw from Iraq, sending the message to the terrorists that if they'll just be patient, they can win and bring their terrorist acts to the U.S.? Are they accusing us, those of us on the left side of the aisle, we just want to invite the terrorist over? Hey, come on over and have a good time, do anything you want. Just blow the hell out of America. That's what they're saying. They're calling us traitors. They're calling us traitors in this email. It's exactly what, because only they know what's best. Only they have the moral authority to do what's right. I think we've seen more than enough in the past several months to know that the current Republican Party has no goddamn moral authority whatsoever. None. They're the last people in the world that ought to be preaching moral authority to anybody. And you can take your James Kennedy and your Dobsons and your Falwells and your Robinsons and stick them, because they don't have any morality either. If they back this administration, they have no moral authority. None. We've seen enough crime and thievery and coercion and theft by this administration to last a lifetime. It pains me to see the Republican Party gone to hell in a handbasket the way they are, because we need two parties in this country. We need two parties. I will not sit here and say, oh, the Democrats would never do anything bad, because we all know that we've got our own warts as well. We need two good parties to keep this country functioning properly. As we've all seen recently, that if one party is in control of everything, things run amok. We got to have one party to keep them straight, keep everybody straight. We got to have one party to keep the other one out of control straight. And you know what? The Democrats have done one hell of a poor job of keeping up their end of the bargain in the past few years. I've said before, and I'll make some people mad by saying it, and I don't care. I don't give a damn. I think our leadership has been out to lunch for quite a while now. Not all of our leadership, but quite a bit of it. You know, I heard Harry Reid early on. You say what you want to about Harry Reid, but I heard him say early on in the Bush administration, well, yes, we're in the minority now. We have to pick our fights. What fights? What fights, Harry? Have you fought anything? Anything? Have you fought either one of the Supreme Court nominees? Not a goddamn bit. Not a bit. Did you fight the bankruptcy bill? Hell no. Did you ever do I tell you. they threatened to get up and do something once in a while, and they haven't. They haven't done anything. They've sat by and watched. And I'm not saying that they necessarily could have got a lot done. But they could have filibustered a time or two to show America that they would stand and fight for something. And they haven't. They haven't. They've let them do anything they wanted to do. They've run right over us. And our leadership has allowed it to happen. I'm so upset I can't think. This recent bill that we just passed about torture. I never can remember what they actually called it. Couldn't we have at least filibustered that? Couldn't our leaders have got some balls enough to get up and filibuster that? No, fine, just flush the habeas corpus down the toilet, and we Democrats will sit here because, well, we don't have a majority and we can't do anything. And, you know, if we filibuster, well, you know, it wouldn't look good to the people. You know, it's election time and everything, and it just wouldn't look good. So we're going to sit here and we're going to be real nice. And they're saying, and don't you worry, we won't impeach anybody if we get in there because, you know, we're going to turn over a new leaf. We're going to change the political climate in America and la di da di da di da. And don't worry, we won't do any impeachment. Don't worry. Bullshit. Once and for all, they ought to show politicians like this Bush gang that they can get thrown out of office. They ought to throw them out of office at the very first opportunity they get and give fair warning that if this ever happens again, we get another administration like this, they'll be out on their asses too. But no. No. We're going to play nice. And I'm not sitting here saying there shouldn't be any cooperation. Of course there should. But when you get liars and thieves and con men running your government, you need to throw them out on their asses out in the street and shame them. And let the world and this country know that we will not stand for leadership like this in our country. We will not stand for allowing a man like Junior Bush, Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, and the whole goddamn bunch of them to throw our rights out the window. And make us the big bully on the block. Yeah, we're tough. We're Americans, by God. They've done irreparable harm to this country. It's going to be generations before we get our reputation back again. Generations. Mark my word. There are the majority of the people in this world hate us. Hate us. I've talked to enough of them. I live in an area now. Not now. I live in an area where there's a lot of people from around the world come and visit. And I ask them about this, and I ask them about it all the time. A lot of them hate us. How sad. How utterly sad. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. There, let's push the right button. Hi.
Hey, this is Sarge.
Hi, Sarge.
I thank you for what you're saying today. I really totally agree with what you're saying, and I'm glad someone's actually speaking out on that. You know, it's like I was telling Bob last night, when you live down in this area where Katrina is just turning into a daily nightmare, you know, I was telling Bob that they have these...
Katrina?
Things. Yeah.
What's that?
No.
I thought that was over with a long time. Haven't all the houses been rebuilt and hadn't the government come in and helped everybody and given massive aid to everybody and gotten it over with?
I love it. Well, that's great because, you know, that's a bunch of crap, too. Actually, what happened is there's people in Jackson County who have now been told by FEMA that they are going to get kicked out of their FEMA trailers. They're called little egg communities.
Well, you can't expect to put them in the lap of luxury forever.
And they're going to be kicked onto the streets, and these little FEMA trailers are nothing but aluminum.
God. Oh, and, good God.
And you know what? There's not a soul speaking out to say, stop it. The Democrats are not speaking out. Eric Fleming, who's running against Trent Lott, and he's a good man. I'm not putting down on Eric. I like him. I will vote for him. I support him. But I have tried to set him up with contacts saying, here's the problems down here, Eric. If you highlight these problems, people will listen to you, and you will win the whole Mississippi coast. But he's not listening, man. And if the Democrats don't get some backbone and they don't speak out, I mean, I know they're in the majority. I know they don't have subpoena power. I know all that crap. But, you know, the United States didn't start out with power in their favor.
We still could be the squeaky wheel.
Yeah. I mean, look, guy, when the revolution started in the 1770s, did we have all the power then? No. We had no power. You know, we were rebelling against a major world power in England at that time.
Imagine the nerve of those revolutionary people in our country. Imagine the nerve they had.
Yeah. That's what upsets me. We got power. We just don't want to use it. And it's called protest. It's called standing up. It's called acting like real Americans and having a backbone. And that's what we've got to do, I think. I mean, you know.
Yep. I agree.
And maybe a third party's the answer. I don't know.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Sarge. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Good hearing from you, pal.
Well, let's go over to line one. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello, Guy.
Hi.
This is a friend of Herb's, or as you call him, Sarge.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is old Gunny Bob from North Dakota.
Well, how are you today?
I'm fine, but, you know, I just love your show. Have listened to it since I got turned on to the Guy James Show way back when. And you know what? I got to say something to you that not too many people do. One yellow dog Democrat to another, okay?
You got it.
I was a yellow dog Democrat when they put JFK in the ground. I was raised in a family of Republicans, and now that's the way I look at them. They're not even Republicans anymore, because Republicans you can respect.
Yeah.
But people that think themselves to be the Almighty or have contact with the Almighty have no contact with their own conscience. And, Guy, you know, when you said what you said this evening, you made me proud. You made me very proud.
Well, thank you.
To be a yellow dog Democrat.
Well.
Because I am. If there ain't a D after the name, you can just go paint a big red sign on it and saying, I'm a fascist, I'm a communist, I'm something other than an American. And that's the way I've been.
Well, I respect that. And a lot of people say, well, how can you do that? How can you vote a straight ticket and all? Well, because there's certain tenets that the party believes in.
It's like what was that old cowboy back there used to say something about, I don't belong to any kind of organized party. I'm a Democrat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're not organized, but we are this. We are true Americans. And anybody that says that our service to this country is not as good as theirs, don't even look at the people on the ticket and say, how many of these men have actually faced the enemy in combat, as Sarge did in Vietnam, and I did, in Vietnam and in other places. But the thing is, Guy, I salute you, and I say to you, my friend, thank you for being there, and you just keep giving it to them. You keep shoving it to them, and you keep slamming them down and knocking them down like you do, because they're like bowling pins. They fall whichever way they may. But they got no courage in them. There's not a Republican in this country that's worth spit.
I feel the same way. I feel the same way.
It's time that we just take them on and kick their butts, and we can do it. We can do it in November if we just stand up and kick them. Don't let them tell you what to do. You tell them what to do.
That's the only way you can handle them. Hey, thanks for your call. We're down to the end of the wire here. Thanks.
I know, Guy, but I've never called you before, but hey.
I appreciate hearing from you. I really do, and I hope you'll continue to listen.
Well, hey, I listen to you as much as I can.
I got to.
Unless I'm dragged away, but.
Got to get out of here because Bob's coming.
Good on you. I'll talk to my friend Bob later tonight.
All righty.
Maybe not tonight, but some other day. But hey, thanks for calling.
Here,
guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. Bob Kincaid's coming up at 6 o'clock. Going to be with you from 6 to 10. Yes, sir.